Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Napa Know-How.
This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
That little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide. You already know what it is. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Subscribe today. Now, part of the things that we're doing over here at Negative to Positive is encouraging people to change their lives, change the things that are within their power. I want to thank our good friends at KFC for helping me bring this to you. Feed your whole crew with KFC. Let's go. I can get the KFC bucket of chicken, and you know, that's fire. Now, Babu, you know that you could get that mac and cheese, that mashed potato, gravy, those biscuits. Now, that's trouble right there. That is fire right there. You know, on Negative to Positive, we always talking about striving and achievement. And the Colonel Sanders story is a story that inspired me since I was 10 years old. Look how our life comes full circle. Now I'm talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much I love it. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Check out the vodcast. Subscribe today. Apple Podcast, Podcast One, Spotify.
Welcome back to Collider Live, the best show on the damn YouTube.
I don't remember mine.
Okay.
Come sing to Sigma Alpha Epsilon.
Letting you in the behind the curtain for a quick second.
Feels so left out.
I'm Roxy Stryer, and I, yes, was chanting my sorority song right before we went on.
Fight on.
Fight on, baby. It was awkward, and it was great. The most evil girl across from me, Dorina.
Buenos dias.
That
how are you
smile
doing, Roxy?
Says it all right now.
Well, I can't not smile, because you're in front of my face every day. So it's not that I wasn't smiling for Christian, but you just make me smile more.
Literally the nicest thing anyone ever said to me. That guy who is highly doubting you right now, Josh McCouga.
Hi. That was like the lamest hi.
What happened? Done.
I don't know. What did I do?
I don't know. I've never heard you do it before.
A very reserved Josh McCouga today.
Yeah. What do you make of that, Mark Riley? What do you make of it?
I'm pink.
I didn't realize.
That's what I make of it.
You look really good in pink, though.
You do look good in pink, man.
Like this is just for Jane Seymour.
Let's be honest.
It looks really good.
Yeah, I wore a shirt for Jane Seymour.
Were you that upset by yesterday's screaming that you today just decided to be super subdued, Josh?
Screaming? Are you exhausted from the Martin Scorsese energy throughout yesterday?
No. I think I forgot my smoothie. Which is a bummer. It's usually like my drink to work.
Yeah.
I know.
Thank you.
I know. It's what white people problems here, guys.
Cody Hall in the booth with that amazing noise. Thank you. Alex Marzoni as well.
I just watched the season finale of Mayans on FX, and I'm very all over the place. And I was not very impressed by the This Is Us episode last night. And when I don't like the episode,
not watched yet.
When it all...
What's your favorite show right now, Josh?
On television?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I really love this season of Jack Ryan a lot.
Okay. Downton Abbey.
We've been watching a lot of Downton Abbey, and I got to be saying, I'm like kind of obsessed with it. Amanda and I like say Downton Abbey phrases to each other. But right now, Watchmen is crushing.
It really is.
So good.
I can't move forward. You say Downton Abbey phrases to each other?
Yeah, because they speak old to it. Like, they have like this old way of saying, like, the one episode. Exactly. They're like when they get upset.
They speak old.
Yeah, they do. They do.
They speak old and British.
You people are stupid.
Exactly. Like the one night they're in bed. The guy that plays Legion, Dan Stevens, who was the Beast, he's still in the show. Only in season 3.
Michael Crawley or whatever his name is.
Oh, Dan
he's
Stevens.
Michael Crawley.
Michael Crawley.
Yes, and then Mary, who's played by Michelle Dockery, they're in bed, and she says to him, like, kiss me before I get cross. Like, then, so right, I, like, say that kind of weird stuff to him, and he's like, what am I going to say? Kiss me before I get cross. Yeah.
Is that how you and Amanda talk to each other now?
Now so we're just, weird. My lady, my lord, yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you actually saw this morning, because because you were hustling to get here. But it's not Downton Abbey that caught my eye. It was something way fucking weirder, guys. Yeah. Mm. This was the weirdest bit of news to wake up to. I get THR reports on my phone.
Yep.
I don't know if any of you guys do that, no, which clearly makes me so pro. No, there's something about it that makes me feel like I'm in the know.
Yeah.
Like anybody could do this. Anybody, anywhere. I get 400 emails a day from The Hollywood Reporter, and it makes me feel somehow like I'm doing my job, which is like literally anybody could do it.
I have eliminated all push notifications on my phone. The only thing that I want is text.
Same.
No, it comes through email.
Oh.
It's an I get emails of their articles every time they publish
one. That's a lot of emails.
So silly.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's great in situations like this because I wake up to James Dean is starring in a new movie.
And yeah!
I was like, holy crap, he came back from the dead.
No.
No. James Dean.
Yeah. So I was like, obviously.
And not zombie James Dean. Like, we're not getting like a cool horror movie or anything like that.
No. No, it's not zombie James Dean. So I was like, I'm obviously clicking on this article because what the actual fuck? Like, what is this? So Riley, our amazing newsman, what is this? What is happening with James Dean?
Well, the Skynet is getting closer and closer to being reality. They're going to CGI James Dean and put him in a movie as a secondary lead. Not the lead, but a secondary lead.
Supporting.
So now not only are robots taking our jobs in manufacturing and all over the world, but robots are now taking acting jobs from people.
And disrespecting the legacy of these actors. Yeah. Like, what is that? Why is it? Are we all old now? Like, are we just are we not with the times? Because I can't get over this.
I haven't been out there clamoring for a new James Dean movie.
Okay, well, that's where you and I differ, sir.
Yeah, because like, I
would be great as the lead in Star
the
Wars,
only
a
way
James
I would
Dean.
No.
Right.
The only way I would be happy with this is if they put James Dean and Paul Newman in a movie together and they made like a sequel to Call Me By Your Name. Other than that, I'm not interested in CG.
Can I say that I actually
them banging each other?
Yes.
Yeah, they used to flirt with each other.
Are you surprised?
There's actually a rumor that they used to do stuff.
I'm sure they did.
There's a rumor that they had a threesome with Eartha Kitt. So there you
did know. You make the rumor up?
No, I read about it. Look it up. I swear the Hollywood Reporter's written something
dreams?
About it. Yes. Yes. It is bookmarked.
I think I feel differently about this than you guys actually do. I'm not mad about this news. I'm trying to deal with it. Like, I will give credit where credit is due. Mm-hmm. Christian Harloff sat in this seat not very long ago and said they are going to start putting people in movies that are not appearing on set.
Yep.
But he didn't necessarily say dead people. He was just saying like, yo, if you want to sit at home on your couch, we'll pay you to use your name and likeness anyway.
Right.
Or afterwards, talking to the estate. He did talk about this.
Or de-aging people like we've seen in The Irishman and that. Yeah.
But I don't think any of us thought when he said this will happen in the future was now. This is 2019 and I was expecting this to be at least 2030. Like, I was waiting at least another decade.
I'm
not going to go see it.
Yeah.
Yes, you will.
No, I won't.
What if it's good?
Because I don't want to watch a fucking hologram. I have trouble with animation.
That's
you're telling me I'm getting a James Dean hologram? I drive past James Dean every time I drive up to Amanda's mom and dad's place on the 46, right? Or whatever freeway that is between the 5 and the 101. And you drive right past where he died and they have like a restaurant. And there's like a whole James Dean museum. You see him out there. He's got his cigarette. It's an homage to the past. You can go back and watch James Dean movies. You can watch Paul
Newman
movies.
Only like 6 of them. Big Josh energy.
I am actually in agreement with you this time.
Yes.
I see what you're saying, Roxy, because we have to, as humans, evolve and change with the times. I understand that. But this is just bizarre to me because it's the same thing as when we saw, Carrie Fisher.
Is it the same thing? Because they were in the middle of a trilogy.
Same thing as Lydia Soprano in season 3 of The Sopranos because she died in between seasons 2 and 3.
And so that or Tarkin.
It's not the same as any of those, though, guys. This is a new movie.
Can I read
decades
a quote?
Later.
Can I read a quote that might help with this?
Sure.
Because it's ridiculous, in my opinion. We searched high and low for the perfect character to portray the role of Rogan, which has some extreme complex character arcs. And after months of research, we decided on James Dean. You mean you searched high and low and decided on a dead guy?
This
is ridiculous. There are actors out there
that
can do this. And like, I understand.
There's going to be a guy impersonating James Dean in a VO.
They are going to use actual footage, CGI, full body CGI using actual footage and photos of the actor, but another actor will voice him. And another, maybe another actor will be the body stand-in. So they are literally recreating James Dean because he was the best choice for this role.
I guess it's look,
as an
deep
actor,
fake
you
technology.
Feel like a piece of shit. Look, you can't compete. Right, fucking dead hologram.
But that's my point. Nobody's going to be able to. You know what? We searched high and low, and we decided on Cary Grant. Dorito. For the role of so-and-so.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
With deepfake technology, things are changing. It's crazy what's being done. I mean, Collider's been doing some great deepfake stuff with the George Lucas thing. You know,
you're just getting trigger happy. Yeah, what exactly. Is it even for anymore, Cody?
Well, I'm also plugging. I'm plugging. I'm helping our channel. But the issue with me there is that's being used for like comedy sketches, right? Like that's different for me. I feel like if you're making a whole new movie, I don't understand the need to do this unless the movie revolves around the technology, right? Like if you're going to do like a Ready or Not type a franchise where you're bringing back all these dead celebrities, then yeah, sure, do that. But for this, why don't you just get another actor that's alive? That's
so
what I don't get it.
Am I the only person who would like to see James Dean on screen in a new movie?
Yes. And for me, yes.
It just depends on the pitch. And this doesn't interest me.
Riley, on this. You have no interest in seeing James Dean in a movie, new movie.
I have pretty much zero interest in it because I don't like that we are doing this. That it's like we searched high and low for the perfect actor and we decided on a dead guy.
Cody,
I can't do that.
Cody, am I the only one still?
I think so.
Alex?
Yeah. Yeah,
all right, so Roxy stands alone. It's the first time ever, guys, that I have a different opinion. Here's what I'm thinking, though. I do want to bring opportunities to all different kinds of people, including myself. As an actress, if I went in for an audition and I didn't book the role and Marilyn Monroe booked it over me and she's been dead for decades, I'd be like, well, I'm not great. You know, I really didn't. But I think
imagine the actors that audition for this role and they read this article and it's like – fucking Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't know. I'm just saying.
And I get that. And what they should have said was we didn't audition or look anywhere because we knew from writing the script we were writing it for James Dean.
Right.
That would have made me feel a little better about it because otherwise, poor actors out there. But at the same time, anybody who's part of this 27 Club, and there's so many people, and it keeps coming up. The people that are people who are dying before they're 30, and they're so talented.
Janis Joplin, yeah.
Amy Winehouse and
Jimi
Hendrix. Everybody, but even anybody who's just under 30, even under at this point 60, but like anybody who's dying that young, who is that talented, I want to see more of. And the fact that we finally have technology today that can make us see more of them, no, it's not actually them, but maybe it's similar to what they could have done or how they could have portrayed. And if his estate is okay with it,
which clearly they are,
otherwise it wouldn't be happening.
Right.
I'm kind of interested. I'm not saying I'm obsessed with it, but I'm kind of interested.
But they're using their I see what you're saying, and I hear you. And I think that also depends on, like, if you guys think about it, like, whoever is actually like an actor in this room, I'm not, right? But you guys are. So how would you feel if you came back from the dead, if you were your own ghost, and they use your likeness? Because they're not coming back here and saying, oh yes, we're gonna get the James Dean that we all know. They're using his likeness, right?
So
they're gonna get an actor. It's not going to be James Dean in the actual movie. It's not gonna be the James Dean we all knew. They can't do that no matter what technology they get.
Right. But to answer your question, how would I feel? Yeah. Right. I'm 28, so similar. But if I died, like I walked out of here, I got hit by a car. Or whatever. Anybody can die in any way.
Yeah.
I was making a joke about it.
Okay. You're so God today, Josh.
Yeah,
I love it.
Totally.
Except the pink. The pink is screaming God.
Yeah, no.
I would hope that you guys would CGI me into everything for the rest of time. Like, I would like to be in everything. If I die today and there's not a movie with me starring in it, I'm pissed at you guys because you did not fucking do your jobs.
Listen, well, I'm not a great actor. Okay, that's Clear and Present Danger. You guys have seen Plasterhead. Okay,
Clear and Present Danger. Great movie.
I love that. I'm a little Jack Ryan.
Really hot Jack Ryan in that movie.
So what I'm saying is, like, when I hear stories of like, oh, Amelia Clark had to act at a tennis ball because that's what the dragon was. I was like, that sounds terrible. Okay. Yeah. Second of all, I'm in a scene with a guy in a black onesie covered in white balls. And I'm like, hey, so this is supposed to be James Dean. Go fuck yourself. I'd rather have, like, Donnie McBride, whatever.
Danny.
No, no. I'd rather have, like,
old
Eddie Curtains over here, you know, coming around being like, hey, this is my first movie. I'd rather get that than, like, hey, so we're going to hologram fucking James Dean in here. Because I'm not, like, out there. Because here's the thing. You go into pitch rooms, and we've all been in pitch rooms before where you have scripts. Yeah. And they're like, so who do you think we could get for the role of this? I'm like, you know who would be great in this role? Elizabeth Banks. And then somebody's like, what if we fucking hologram James Dean in there? I'm like, shut the fuck up. I don't want a hologram James Dean in my movie.
But on the other side of that, I get as an actor, it would be more difficult to act against a
tennis ball
curtain. Thank you, by the way, for the Eddie Curtain Google search. But I believe if I had the opportunity to be in a movie with James Dean, I don't give a fuck what I'm acting up against. I'm in a movie with goddamn James
Dean. You're not in a movie with James Dean.
Yes, I am.
No, you're going to be acting.
No, you're not.
You're going to be acting.
I am.
Roxy, guess what?
Roxy. The way it would actually happen, it'd be like Andy Serkis. You'd be acting with a person. It'd be like that Beauty and the Beast amazing photo that we get of Dan Stevens in that ridiculous giant suit.
Yeah.
Where he's walking down the stairs with Emma Watson, and it's the most hilarious picture ever.
When you're watching it at home, Roxy Stryer starring alongside James Dean.
Do you think they're going to be looking at you? They're going to be looking at
you. They're going to go like, who is that dumb idiot?
Hey, there it is. I love that.
And guess what? this move is going to eclipse everything. Eclipse the story, eclipse the other actors in this movie. It's all going to be about James Dean being a CGI ghost acting in front of everybody.
And for the first of its kind, I'm okay with that.
All right.
I know that
I'm – Fair enough.
I
haven't really said this before on the show before. I've said like, hey, you should get the joke or whatever. You sound stupid. you sound like a big dumb idiot.
I'm curious. Here's the thing. I saw
– I'm sorry.
It's an illusion.
It is.
Fuck you.
Like 99.99% of people, like, you're in a movie with a hologram James Dean.
All right,
that's
let me
like
ask
you're
this.
In a student film with a guy with a James Dean mask going like, oh, look, ribbon without a cause.
Let me ask
me.
You this. Let me ask you guys this. When everything started with the musician hologram movement, and I remember being at Coachella maybe 6 years ago.
Tupac.
And Tupac came on stage, and people lost their motherfucking minds.
Because they thought it was Tupac, because the world thinks that Tupac isn't dead.
I was there, and we did not think it was Tupac.
Because you're on drugs!
Wouldn't that make me think it was Tupac?
Maybe. I don't know. I
Fair
like drugs,
point.
Too. What the fuck?
Also, not wrong. but I remember everybody being like, wow. And then holograms with musicians blew up.
Right.
Yeah.
People seem to be predominantly excited about that. For this, I'm looking at Twitter. People seem to be not excited about this. What is the difference between going to a hologram concert and seeing a hologram movie?
Because it's live.
And not even a hologram movie, a CGI movie.
Because it's live. Because if you're seeing Tupac at Coachella, it's just a once in a lifetime. You saw it there. It's not recorded. It's different than
– Movies are never live, though.
Yeah, I know. But so a movie is actually not just going to be released in theaters. There's going to be DVDs. There's going to be this like movie legacy of all of these dead celebrity hologram movies now. Like that – I don't know. I mean maybe that's what we're getting
Here's
now, and
thing.
We have no say in it. But I'm not – I just am not interested.
If I went to a live live taping of a podcast, let's just say it was like, you know, Dan Patrick's show that he has in the audience where he interviews people for like an hour, okay? And you go out there on the stage like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome James Dean. Right. And a hologram of James Dean came out and Dan Patrick asked a hologram of James Dean some questions. I think that'd be pretty cool. Seeing a movie with James Dean is like acting around, that doesn't do it for me. Seeing a hologram of Tupac, I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool. He's singing like his old song.
Because you're on drugs.
Yes. But also, 99% of the times you're at a concert, you're either drunk or on drugs. I don't really go to concerts with people that are sober. I'm sorry. That's not a concert for me. I go to concert. I get hammered. I smoke some weed. That's what you're supposed to do at a concert. That's what music is for. That's what music was invented. Music was invented to entertain people. Then drugs were invented. And everybody's like, holy shit, together, music and drugs is awesome.
I do feel like music was invented as an outlet for people, you know, who didn't have other resources necessarily. And they had their voice. It was a beautiful thing to start. But
I mean,
also for weed and drugs.
You are both correct.
Yes. It's both, I guarantee you the first time like the harpsichord is played in George Washington's home out there in Mount Vernon, Martha walks in, she's like, we shit a spliff. He hits like, holy shit, music is that much better. Everybody should get high.
Did and you say we shit a spliff?
We share a spliff.
Is spliff lingo for weed?
Yeah, weed and tobacco mixed together is called a spliff.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
You never heard of spliff?
No, I learn new English idioms and words every day.
You're welcome. I hate spliffs.
Really?
Yeah, because people pass them to you like it's weed, and it's not. Mm. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay. I really don't like that, Roxy, out of people.
Guys, and guys, safety tip. Thank you, Roxy.
That's my thoughts on
splits. What if James Dean is ripping a spliff in this new movie, like Donnie Curtin's in the Revenge of the
Hologram? What if hologram James Dean gave you a spliff? Would you smoke it with him?
Yeah. Yes.
See, it's clear.
Clearly my answer is yes.
I can't do it.
I am curious because we are all in the entertainment space, but we have an amazing guest coming on today, Jane Seymour. Definitely will have more thoughts on all these things and all the other things. I can't believe she's in the room next to me right now.
Next door.
That's
why I was texting.
I can't possibly explain to you guys how obsessed I am with this human being.
Yeah.
No, we understand, Roxy, because we're all
this
obsessed
with this
human
being.
This is
going to be one giant, like, fangirl, fanboy moment out. Yeah. Like, I told Amanda, I was like, hey, so we have Jane Seymour on the show today. She's like, what the fuck did you just say?
Oh, yeah. I told Julie. Yeah. Julie
lost
today.
Lost her mind.
Just brought up some movies. She went, what? Because we literally watched Wedding Crashers like a month ago, and she—that's like
she's
one of her favorite parts.
She's a fucking legend. Man.
She's a legend.
So excited to talk.
She's
to her.
A legend. I was reading an article that said you know how old somebody is based off of how they know Jane Seymour,
that's
because like
question.
Everybody knows her from something completely different.
Yeah.
But for me, it really was Wedding Crashers is like the thing that got me hooked on her.
I mean, I'm going to ask a very—I mean, it's probably not even going to be an awkward question. It's going to be an awkward comment of like, do you realize that you were like were responsible for the sexual awakening of an 11-year-old boy in Pittsburgh the first time he turned on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman was like,
oh yeah.
I like turned to my dad. I was like, is that how hot all doctors were in the old West? My dad's like, no, it's not how
I mean, I think she was everyone's sexual awakening.
Her
and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah. I'll give you three words. Somewhere in Time.
Followed
Christopher Reeve over because Superman guy, right?
Yeah.
And that was when I remember being with my high school girlfriend at the time who loved this movie. And
you know what's funny is you can ask her a very cool question about James Dean because she was in East of Eden, and James Dean's for like one of his only movies that he was in was East of Eden.
I would love to ask her what she thinks of this hologram situation.
Yeah. Josh with that knowledge.
10% professional.
He's saying it's different, but he's saying by the same title.
Oh, yeah, got it. Sorry. But you know what's interesting? In this article about James Dean, they start talking about what other figures they can resurrect, and one of them is Christopher Reeve that they're listing here. They want to do this.
But we have to get our thoughts on that because they were really close friends, and I've heard her talk a lot about after his accident and talking to him and really just being there for him for a really long time. So I'm curious what she would think about her friend
being hologrammed.
Being put into it. Like Warner Brothers decides to say, no Man of Steel 2, we're going to make another Superman movie with Christopher Reeve.
I almost feel like now, you know how on our license you are an organ donor or you're not?
Mm-hmm.
You make these decisions beforehand. Now I feel like as long as actors now know.
Don't hologram me.
So everybody, I just think every performer, musician, actor, whatever it is, can say now to their people, hey, after I die, I don't want to be hologrammed, or I do want to be hologrammed, or only hologram me if you are not doing well financially and need to make a little extra money. Like, I'm sure some people feel
way.
Yeah,
totally
Crispin
agree.
Glover talked about how in Back to the Future 2 and 3, they like put makeup on a guy's face. He didn't like the choices. I guarantee you there are actors out there like, don't hologram me. I don't want, you know, Johnny Curtin's to come in and be like, I'm going to do a James Dean impression.
But that's literally not the person.
But that wasn't him.
It's not him.
That was literally another person.
I know. It's the Curtin's family. Eddie, Johnny, Danny.
But this isn't another person. It's him.
It's a person doing a voice impression of James Dean in a motion capture suit.
It is not James Dean. It's going to look like James Dean. No, it's not, Roxy. James Dean is not real James Dean.
I'm not the host of this show. I'm not the host of this show. But if
zombie
I was,
corpse James Dean would be more James Dean than hologram CG James
I would suspend
James
you
Dean.
From being the host of the show.
Why do you want to suspend me? Because I just want to believe, like Tinkerbell?
No.
Okay?
Because you're making us sound all sounds stupid.
Us clapping our hands is not going to bring James Dean back.
We're all involved in that you support a hologram James Dean.
I'm not going to say I believe in fairies because I disagree with you. So you're going to stay dead. No,
yeah. We can't clap our hands and bring James Dean back. And that it's just a
is
weird.
Is there no celebrity that you want to bring back in a movie. No. Hologram. It, oh, look, not one.
It nope. depends on the pitch, right? If it's the pitch that they just gave me, I have no interest in. If they're specifically right. making something cool where they're honoring these all these celebrities on some concert, like whatever's going on, like sure, do that for the.
Do you remember that Pepsi, are that Super Bowl?
All holograms to me.
We are all holograms.
I'm actually still home. I'm a force yeah. projection here. Yeah.
So. We could all be a simulation.
The
just
Pepsi
saying.
Commercial in the Super Bowl a few yes. years back when they were all sitting around and it was like right. live action Marilyn Monroe, James Dean, those right. the famous dead celebrities. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
Right.
It was a 30-second commercial correct. Of like from their thing. Great. Yeah. I don't need to see Roxy being like, James, no! And James Dean holograms like, I like my fip. I'm my fip. Oh, I'm James Dean. Look at hologram. And then everybody, the whole movie just
I
be like,
see
oh,
that.
I saw. Oh,
why
I
does
saw,
he talk oh. like that? And what does he say about meth?
No, he's I am James Dean hologram. Look at me, movie. La la la.
I'll watch that though.
All right, something yeah, you we do it. Something we can all agree on because clearly we're not going to come to a consensus here because you know we're very split. We're 50-50 down the middle.
Sure,
on,
nope,
on this
sure
one.
Are not.
You know, some people are on one side, other nope. people.
What's like the world with you and cheese? 99% of the world likes cheese. Even the lactose intolerant.
So the Mexican
cheese.
Gets to be in the wall, yay! And the Jew does not at this point. Good and that's the way that it is, guys. Jane Seymour. We're all excited. For we're going to be talking to her when we come back, so don't move.
There it is.
Sorry, Cody, she's giving you more
Cody,
warning
give
on
Cody
that
the
one.
Win.
It's okay, just gonna
I felt like I was gearing up to it with my transition.
We're going on break now.
Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world of sports, talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it with a rotating band of guests like Matt Nose and Josh McCuga. We've had Taylor Bisciotti on. We've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations, and I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Hi, I'm Koi Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand.
Hey,
so do yourself
John
a favor
Rocha.
And go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Okay. Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. A new episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes. And starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast where Koi and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
Welcome back to Collider Live. We are here today with somebody who doesn't even know what she just got herself into because of how much we are massive, massive super fans of you. It's Jane Seymour in the
house.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Well, you have had just the most incredible life and career. The more that I was learning about you, the more that I realized that you could write 400 more books than you've written. Between everything with your mom and your son, and then also you've won Emmys. You've been in some of the biggest movies
Golden
ever.
Globes.
You're a huge part of the Me Too movement and moving women forward in Hollywood. So I wanted to ask you, of all of the things, everything that you've accomplished, is there one that you feel like you always want to be thought of for the most?
Being authentic.
Hmm. That's being authentic. So just for being
it's
you.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
I have six kids and six grandchildren. And I remember when they were going off to college and whatever, and, you know the normal thing. Your parent doesn't understand, only you know, and all that kind of stuff. But at some point when they put down whatever it is they were looking at rather than spending time with me, they sat down and they looked me in the eye and they said, "What's the most important thing in life, Mom?" And I went, quick answer. I said, just be authentic. I said, if you're authentically you, then anything you say, do, perform, anything anyone expects you to be, you're not hiding anything. It's just who you are. They may not like it. They may not dig it, you know. But and I think the other thing is, as an actress, that's a passion for me. It's also a job. But it's an amazing job where I get to take on, you know, another person's character and situation. And if I'm not a blank canvas, and if I'm not receptive and able to communicate through my body, my face, and my movements and everything, I'm no good at what I'm doing. So, again, even though you're playing somebody else, you have to do it authentically. So, you know, I have a son who's a singer-songwriter who's amazing, and everyone, said, "Oh, we're going to make you a star," or whatever. And he went, "No, I want to be authentic." Like, okay, well, let's hear the music soon. Okay.
Well, it is interesting to hear you say that too, though, because I feel like you're in an industry of a lot of inauthentic people.
Yes, that's what's been going on. And I think that's the crazy part is people keep saying, you're nearly 69 and you're working all the time. I mean, wait a minute. Nobody is, especially females. Mm-hmm. And you have all these design companies. I design furniture and jewelry and I paint for a living.
And you sculpt. And you're an author and all of the things.
And more important, I'm running a nonprofit and I've got really exciting things that we're doing now.
Open Heart Foundation.
But now my daughter, who's 37, Katie Flynn, came out with this brilliant idea, which we're actually actively doing now for young hearts. It's going to be like a dating app, but instead of dating, it'll be nonprofits that have specific needs in terms of volunteers and volunteers with specific skills. Duh.
My wife asked me
exciting?
This morning, how do we – I want to volunteer because
I'm doing it. We're doing it.
It's amazing.
We're building the app as we speak, and we have partners who wanted to go and do this globally. So, you know, if you wanted to go and volunteer in Africa, you'd be able to do it. So I'm excited. You know, I have a very, very full life. I don't just do one thing. And
sounds exhausting.
And but my kids have all like come into their own, and I think, you know, am I proud of something? I think I'm proud of them. I'm proud of who they are as people and the fact that we're now all working together making amazing things happen. And so I feel relevant because they're 23, some of them are 23 and the others are, you know, mid 30s, and you know, I just feel like all the generations are all happening in my house. So,
have you always felt, though, do you get to a point where now you seem extremely confident in what you do and how you feel about yourself? And speaking of authenticity, like, is there an age or that you just said, you know what, I don't care what people think. I'm just going to be myself. Like, how did you, you know, accomplish that? Because that's hard for a lot of people, especially in entertainment space, to be themselves.
I think it kind of happened after Wedding Crashers. You know, I kind of broke the mold and I went, you know what? I'm not going to worry about what people think, you know, because the characters I play are characters. They're not me. And if I think something's funny and it's really well done, then I'm going to be part of that. You know, same thing with what I'm doing now with Kominsky. I mean, they said, oh, you're not old enough. I said, yes, I am. And a gray wig. Trust me, I can pull this one off. I mean, I feel also confident in a strange way, having gone through some horrible divorces. And
because you've been married and divorced four times.
Yeah. The first two were, you know, testers. In this day and age, you would just say, oh, yeah, we hooked up. Yeah. They don't really count. No children, and they didn't last very long. And they're still my closest friends. They're like my brothers.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
I see them all the time, the time. Then, and I adore them.
So you don't consider those the hard divorces? It was after
At the time, it was hard. But, you know, the two where I had children and we were together for a long time. And, you know, I always kind of gave up my power. I always thought, oh, you know, a man is supposed to know better than me. He should be deciding what shows I should be doing. He should be managing the money. He should be deciding what we do. And now it's like, nah. The last time I just said, I'm doing this myself. I went and got my own car. I was paying for everything anyway. I got my own lawyer. I got my own accountant. I said, you know, I'm going to do my own business. And I'm not afraid to try things. I think if there's a message here is if you have a passion for something, there's a million people who say, oh, you can't do that, or it'll never work, or whatever. I just figure, go for it. Mm-hmm. And in this day and age, especially with this kind of omni-channel approach,
very true.
You know, there are people who are interested in what we're talking about right now, and they will find us. Yeah. And the people who aren't interested in it just won't be here. Yeah.
Going back to what you were talking about with feeling like men knew what was right.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that your mom was in a Japanese internment camp for 3.5 years in Indonesia and just seems like the most – she seemed like the most incredible badass woman. When you were growing up, did she raise you or were you raised in a way where men were the people that made the decision, or where did that come from?
Well, I thought that men were making the decision, as in my father, who was an intellectual and a great OBGYN. He was a fellow of the Royal College and the rest of it. But no, he went away. He did his work. He did his surgery. He came back, sat in his chair, and we all took care of him. And then I found out that my mother was the one that was supposedly, you know, running the business of everything and cooking for, you know, one minute it's four of us, the next minute it was 24. And it never fazed her. You know, her whole thing was there would always be enough food. It would whatever we had turned into a rice dish if necessary. And I think, you know, she ran a business from the house, and it never occurred to me that moms didn't run businesses. I didn't really know what her business was, but she was supplying wine, spirits, and tobacco to the embassies out of a little tiny house.
Wow.
And she had two secretaries. One was a woman who was married to a very abusive Irishman next door who beat her up all the time. So she came to work in our house. And the other was a Dutchman who had webbed hands and feet and had three usable digits and could type faster than anyone.
Was he a good swimmer?
I know he would have been a good swimmer. That's a really, you see, that is so wonderfully inappropriate. I love it.
He was a swimmer, so he knows.
And as a man, I don't want to make decisions. I'd rather leave it. My wife makes the decisions. I'll be honest. I love it. It's
but
great.
That's what I saw, and you know, and I think I'm just still so kind of old fashioned in feeling like men. That was what they were supposed to be doing, and. And then I realized, no, I earned all the money. I'm the one creating the businesses. I'm out there promoting them. And I'm spending, you know, I should be involved with what's going on here.
Another thing great about that is Josh and I are obsessed with the Kominsky Method. We love the show, Darina too.
My parents are coming into town tomorrow, and the first thing they want to do is go to Musso and Frank, based off Kominsky Method.
We love it, but your character on the show is somebody who clearly knows what she wants and is going after what she wants. Do you feel like it took your life energy to get to that role? Like, you wouldn't have been able to actually do that at a different point in time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I know. And I was talking with Chuck Lorre because, you know, he writes it as he goes. So you don't know if you're in the next episode or not. You don't. Nobody knows.
Holy cow.
And I, you know, my life sort of almost mirrored what's been happening with Madeline. I mean, I went through a horrible divorce, and 6 years ago I was devastated. I went, oh, gosh, you know, not again. And after 24 years together, how could this be? What's wrong with me? And then randomly I ran into an old, you know, somebody I'd known 38 years ago who I was supposed to work with. We'd never been romantically involved like Madeline. But, you know, the whole idea of he had a long marriage and kids, I had a long marriage and kids, and now we're together and we're kind of wrangling life together, which is new and fun, but we both have backgrounds and baggage from our lives and kids and, in my case, grandchildren. And, you know, how do you do all of that? But I could never have come to Madeline without having been through all the ups and downs and the, you know, the mileage. I mean, it's mileage and baggage, you know.
Absolutely.
And would you consider, because, I mean, we're basically talking about emotional maturity that some actors just you can exude on the screen, right? Like that you just know that you've either lived through these things or through this pain and you can understand the character and that's why you're so good at it and everyone on this show. So do you think that is there, whether it's this particular role or another role, that you thought, oh, this was actually kind of almost therapeutic for me?
I tend to pick pieces that I feel are therapeutic for me, mm-hmm. you know, some area or some angle. I won't take a role unless I feel like I can really do a good job with it and have affinity for it. So, and this character, I just thought this was a great way to, you know, go into gray hair mode and actually show that I could play a, you know, an interesting adult. You know, I mean, I'm at that stage of my life where I've already lost three or four of my friends, my contemporaries. You know, people are ailing all around me. And a lot of people are kind of given up on life. And I think, you know, if with what I do, I can let people my age go, wait a minute, you know, it's not over. You know, there's a next chapter. You can be your own person. You can have experiential living. I love to travel. So I'm right now, rather than worrying about, you know, leaving my kids money or whatever it is, I just said, hey, you want to go to Venice and Rome? And I've got to go and work in Vietnam and Indonesia. Do you want to come and see what I actually do and be part of it?
Awesome.
And, oh, my gosh. So I keep saying to my friends, like, if you possibly can, you know, go on a road trip. Do something one-on-one with your kids. And or, you know, if you have to work and you're in an interesting place, you never know. It might be fascinating for them to see parts of America they've never been to. Like, I was in Wisconsin, in Green Lake, Wisconsin. They all came.
Jeez.
They loved it. We had the most of it. Cheese. And then we were at Mackinac Island last week.
Oh, that's my dad was born. That's amazing.
And I got them all to dress up in Edwardian gear, and they loved it. My rock and roll son, Johnny, he just said, hey, Mom, you know, I'm not changing for dinner. I said, well, good luck with that one. So he goes up there and, you know, and his torn things and jeans and whatever. And they went, a tie. and we realized it wasn't just a tie, wing collar, bowler hat. You know?
That's so great.
He went away, he came back, and he never took it off. He just went, you know, I kind of like this look. I'm kind of digging this thing.
You mentioned earlier, and by the way, somebody that wears that jacket has not given up on anything because you're a badass.
Yeah, thank you. I love this jacket.
It's really good.
It's fantastic. You mentioned Wedding Crashers earlier, and that was like one of those formative comedies for my generation for sure. And you mentioned that was when you got that script, were they kind of like drawn to you or did they come to you with that? Because, I mean, you're incredible in that movie.
Well, thank you. So there's a really interesting story to this. And I'm glad you are. So I heard that I was submitted for it. In other words, a ton of actors, pretty much every actress my age that's known had tried out for this role. And I read it and I went, oh, my God, this is the funniest thing I've ever read. And especially that scene. Yeah. But what a shame. I've just been doing Dr. Quinn. All my fan base, they'll go nuts globally. They, you know, I can't do this. I read it again. Oh, it gets even funnier the second time. What a shame. I wish I could. Third time I went, what the heck? I have to. So now I go in and I have to audition. Well, I've never really auditioned in my entire life because I got like plucked out of obscurity when I was 17 and I've been working ever since. So this whole idea of having a little camera there and someone saying, try out, was, you know, I get panic attack. It was like, oh, you're watching me. Like if you give me the role and I'm on set, I am that person. So the whole audition thing, I've never really studied. So there I'm auditioning. So the producer, they called me up, my agent, and they said, can the director speak to you tonight on the phone? I said, of course. So David Dobkin calls and says, look, do you think if you come back you could up the sexuality a bit? I said, well, yes, if I'm not playing opposite to another woman my own age who's a casting director who is not a guy. I said, but, I mean, it just would help. So they brought in this really hot. And they said, why don't you go into that room and rehearse? And
I'm just going, about me, Jane.
I'm just going, I can't go in a room with a 6 foot something gorgeous, very young guy. And like, so we rehearse and we go out and we do it and kill it, obviously. And I get the role. And the funniest thing was the producers and the director then said, you know, you're just amazing. You know, we loved you in Live and Let Die. Like, what did they think I've been doing for the last 30 years? I was 20 then. I like, really? You have you thought that I did one film, never worked again, and now randomly you found me.
But everybody has, like, their, I would say, their first introduction to Jane Seymour, right? Like, that was, and for me, like a 10-year-old kid, when Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman came on my TV, I turned to my dad and goes, do all doctors in the Old West look like that? And I was like, they do not, son. They do not. And you mentioned, you know, obviously Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. I mean, that was such a huge thing here in the States. And for somebody that grew up in Pittsburgh, like, that was our Friday night. It's Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. And then you get the role. And what was after Wedding Crashers, what was the reaction like?
Oh, I got offered my own TV series doing Modern Men, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. It was a three-camera comedy. But you have to understand, I was actually going to do a series, a comedy series for Paramount, which they were writing for me, when I got offered Dr. Quinn. And I went to them and I said, look, what do I do? I said, I need money. I'd gone through a terrible divorce, lost everything, homeless, penniless, beyond penniless, and I needed to work. And they said, oh, we know that script. Oh, it's a lovely script, but it'll never be a series because it's a woman in the lead. It's a period piece. It's, you know, family values, yada, 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 and a doctor too. So I said, okay, so I'll just sign and do it. Said, yep, don't worry, we'll have ours ready. So I was going to be doing comedy, and then I segued into this thing that just suddenly became hugely successful. It's still playing in 98 countries.
Wow.
Plays every day somewhere here, definitely in France, every day, all day, every day, I think, in France. And if I go to Romania, I can't move because after Ceausescu, whatever his name was deposed, that's all they saw was Dr. Quinn. I am so famous in Romania. And I've made 4 movies in Romania, and I've just been asked to go and do a fundraiser in Romania.
So, like, it's not a bad place to be famous.
Yeah. It's like David Hasselhoff in Germany.
Yeah. Yeah. Please don't compare Jane Seymour to David Hasselhoff.
No, of course.
What was the hardest transition to get out of then? Was it people not thinking of you as just a Bond girl? Was it people not thinking of you as just doctor? Was it what was the hardest one to be like, I'm an actress, I can do more things?
Well, I think right from the beginning, I was always playing characters. So after the Bond thing, I went and I played all the classics in the theater. And everyone said, oh, you know, she's failed. You know, another Bond girl that's never going to be heard of again. But I was playing Lady Macbeth. I was playing Nora in Ibsen's Doll's House. I was playing, you know, I was doing my every 2 weeks another classic role in the theater. At the same time, I was, you know, doing Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger and Our Mutual Friend. I did Dickens, I did Shakespeare, I did Goldoni, Middleton and Rowley, things you've never heard of. And then I was told in England that I looked too exotic to play the girl next door. So I was sort of kitchen sink drama.
No girl next door has ever looked like you. So.
Well, I didn't sound right. So I took a lot of risks if I wanted to work there, you know. And actually, you know, my dad was East End, although he never spoke like this neither, because everyone got educated. But, you know, that's what you got to do, you know. You want to play, you know, Cockney or whatever. So I, anyway, basically.
That was good. That was really good. I think we're all a little just starstruck.
Yeah. So basically,
I
go to America and I meet this casting director who says, look, I just want to meet you. I don't have a job for you right now. But if you could lose your English accent and play American, you will never stop working in this country. Mm-hmm. So I went back to my English. I said, great news. And he said, that's it. You're fired. I'm not going to represent you. So I came to America. No money, no work permit, no agent. Lived on the floor with mailroom guys, you know. Looking after Olivia Newton-John's sister's baby that my father had randomly been the doctor for. We lived on the floor with a baby and no money and didn't have credit cards or anything. And then I got to play an Israeli tank commander.
Right.
Yes.
That's badass.
That's incredible.
Not the way it was played in McLeod. No. And then the next thing I did was Captains and Kings, and I got nominated for an Emmy. And then I did every miniseries. I was called Queen of the Miniseries. You know, so I always got to play different characters. The answer to your question is I've always changed it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've played Marie Antoinette in French and English. I played Wallace Simpson. I played Maria Callas. I played, you know, Hazel Brown and Smith in the 50s. You know, King David, Bathsheba.
For Maria Callas, I'm a big opera fan.
I had to learn the art.
Yeah, okay. Yes. I mean, that's incredible.
You're a big opera fan?
Yes. Yeah, when I lived in Rome, I was lucky enough to live in Rome, and I took an opera class on my study abroad and went to three operas, and then I became obsessed with it, and I've listened to every Maria Callas thing ever.
And do you sing the Vacai? Can you do the Vacai?
No.
I'm
just impressed by the art.
I grew up with opera because my father was loved opera, but he was the doctor for a lot of the opera singers at the Royal Opera House in England. So we would get tickets sometimes, sit way up, and watch the opera. And so people I refer to as Auntie Amy were the star of the opera. And so I was a ballerina. That's what I started out doing.
I didn't know that.
I danced with the Kirov at Covent Garden.
Holy shit.
But I'm the wrong shape and size. But I did actually manage to dance with a couple of major ballet companies, then injured myself and became an actress by default.
Okay. And you're classically trained as an actress and a dancer as well.
Yes, and as a singer, actually. Although it was never my voice playing Maria Callas.
Oh, really?
Right. No. Well, but that's we don't expect you to sound like Maria Callas.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
I won the Emmy for that.
Amazing.
I won Best Actress for it.
So you're clearly underprepared.
Yeah. I'm underprepared.
No, you clearly are.
Where do you keep your Emmys? Or the Golden Globes?
Actually, currently they're sort of hiding in my bedroom.
Okay. Hiding?
Well, not many people go in my bedroom, but they're on the shelf.
I picture them like under the bed somewhere.
No. I glance at them from time to time. I'm very proud of them. I'm also very proud of being an officer of the British Empire, which is quite a cool
thing.
But you know, I always would win a Golden Globe if I was pregnant, if I just had a baby. That's when I'd be nominated many times, but I always won if I was breastfeeding. And since I know I'm not going to have more babies, I'm unlikely probably to be nominated for a Golden Globe.
You never know. I bet that is not true.
Okay. I agree.
I think that there's definitely things in your future. But going back to your past for a second, because one of the first things that happens, you come to the States, and I'm sure you come with wide eyes and big dreams.
Oh, yeah.
And you show up here and you are kind of sent into the lion's den by your producers, your agent. You meet with a big Hollywood producer who basically tried to sleep with you in order to have you get the role and had to have a transaction like that. Now, I know that you don't talk about who it was because out of respect for the fact that this person has passed on. If the person was here today, would you say who it was and would you confront them about it in any way? Because a lot of people are living in that reality right now.
You know, that's very interesting. I think I'm a bit too much of an English lady to get into that. What I do know is that the only reason I really talked about it, and was right at the beginning of the Me Too thing, was that that was kind of almost par for the course. And it wasn't like I was just randomly meeting a producer. No, I had already rehearsed with the director. They'd set up a date for the screen test. I mean, we were well into negotiations. Mm-hmm. You know, it was all happening. And the guy basically sat me down and he said, look, you know, I've done everything to persuade everyone, you know, now it's your turn. And I looked at him and I went, yeah, I'm going to do my best screen test. And he said, no, you know what I mean. And I went, no. And then, you know, touched me and whatever. And I kind of kept moving down this very long couch. And eventually I just said, you know, call me a yellow cab. I got to go. Well, I did do the screen test. I knew, of course, it was never going to work out. The next morning, my agent and another producer that I'd been testing for both knew that I'd gone to this person's house to the screening, and I'd been told to lie about it by this producer.
Wow.
And they just said, oh, thank God you didn't go, because if you had, you'd be in a compromising position. So the only reason I ever told the story was that, you know, the people you think are going to protect you didn't. And I was just very disillusioned. But I did come back to Hollywood, and I did see him again, and he didn't remember. And he ended up actually hiring me without realizing it.
Holy shit.
Wow. So the moral of the story is I think you have to do what's right for you and your gut. I have a lot of friends who, you know, made different choices and they're happy with the choices they made. It just wasn't one that was going to work for me.
Makes sense.
No, that totally makes sense.
And go ahead.
I just had a quick question because our audience is really, you know, we love fantasy, sci-fi, all that type of stuff. So you mentioned Sinbad, you know, Ray Harryhausen, like all that stuff you worked on. Obviously, you know, Bond. So they were wondering if you had any fond memories of either working with Sir Roger Moore or being on those fantasy sets or any.
Smallville, Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I know. I can't believe people tell me I should go to these sci-fi things and that I'd be quite popular.
Yes. I think you'd be pretty popular anywhere you go.
Roger was very interesting because it was his first Bond, and he had a tendency to lift one eyebrow when he played the Saint. And so they were obsessed with making sure he didn't lift the eyebrow, which was impossible because it was his normal way of looking. And he also had to fire this gun. And it had pretty good recoil, and he was not very good at that. So he kept squinting every time he fired the gun, and he could not run. He just could not. He runs like a duck. He waddles.
It's a hard life for us waddlers, okay, guys?
I don't know that I run very well either. I run like a ballerina. But anyway, so, you know, Roger was dealing with all of that, and but he couldn't have been nicer to me, and I ended up, to be honest, spending most of my time with the AD department and the stunt guys, and those became my buddies, and so I ended up in some of the stunts, which was stupid, stupid. I'm in that stupid bus when it goes under the thing. That was me. I mean, I am the size of an amoeba. I mean, you can't see I'm there. There's a little flash of red. Could have been anybody.
Unreal.
It was stupid. Yeah. Really.
Well, you've been in a lot of crazy situations before. And one time I was listening to a podcast in which you said that you died and came back to life.
Yes.
From somebody hearing that, you said you saw the white light, all of those things. Do you feel like in that moment you started believing either in God, a higher power, heaven, anything like that? I just, as somebody who's afraid of dying, I like to talk to people who have died and come back.
I hadn't really thought much about it.
And figure out what's going on. Like, what's up with that? Yeah.
Well, from my experience, and I have spoken to many people who've had exactly the same experience, including the late Christopher Reeve, what happened with me is I had anaphylactic shock. So my whole body just shut down. And before it happened, I realized something had happened, and my throat closed up, and I could feel my heartbeat was going way too fast, and then suddenly it was silent. And when it was silent, I just saw this white light. And I was completely peaceful, you know, no stress, no pain, no noise, nothing, just this white light. And then I kind of looked down, I remember, and I could see me lying on this bed, half naked, with this guy screaming and yelling in Spanish for emergency and putting huge syringes in my butt. And I'm looking, thinking, that's me. But that's kind of odd because I'm me, as me as I am right now here in this room. And it was so weird. But it didn't freak me out. But then I looked again at the white light and I just said, whoever, whatever, I want to get back in that body. I have things I need to do. And the funny thing is that all I cared about was raising my children and making a difference. I felt I hadn't lived enough yet. And so once they gave me the antidote, and of course I was then alive again, they shocked me back into life. I remember that there's only two things I would have taken with me, or left behind any way you like to look at it, and that is the love I'd shared in my life, whether it had been for a moment or a lifetime, and the difference I'd made. So it made life very simple. I came back and I was impatient to live life and absolutely wanted to avoid any nonsense, manipulation, phoniness, any of that. You know, I just didn't have time for it anymore. Mm-hmm. So I gave those people, I call them my kids, like a wide berth. So you know what it is and you go, oh, gosh, no. So I don't try to confront them and just say, oh, you're wrong or whatever. I just go, hi, yeah. See ya. Just keep moving. Because life's too short. And that's why I get excited about things like the, you know, like the app and like open hearts. Yeah. I think that's what life is. Life is communication, loving people, and being able to make a difference. And you just never know when that moment's going to happen. And if you're open to it, that's why I call it open hearts. You accept what the situation is. You open your heart and you reach out to help someone else because there's always someone worse off than you. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you have a purpose. And when you have a purpose, you have a life.
That's beautiful.
And so do I believe in God? Or I'm not a disbeliever, but I have enormous respect for every single culture that has its own, you know, belief systems. Absolutely. That's my thing, is all inclusive rather than exclusive. So I'm not signed up to anyone.
Somebody you, or anything. Agreed. You agreed. Mentioned at yes, the top well of said. that you spoke to Christopher Reeves and he had a similar experience. And we actually talked about him earlier on the show today because there's a new thing happening where James Dean is coming out starring in a movie, which is a crazy sentence to say in 2019, but that they're going to be doing CGI. And Christopher Reeves was one of the names in the article that they're talking about or that people have been mentioning bringing for a CGI movie, whatever that movie would be. How do you think he would feel about that as somebody who is a close friend of his?
Does his family get paid?
I would assume his estate,
if his estate agrees, yeah.
I mean, you know, they do it with music. They, you know, don't they? They do.
Yeah, the holograms.
And, there's just so much amazing original talent here. Mm-hmm. Why not have it? But, you know, everything changes. You know, it's like, should there be a female James Bond? I mean, people ask me this sort of same thing all the time. And they can CGI and make Robert De Niro look like a young man, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know. I think it's weird, but if that's what you're looking for, it's basically another form of animation,
right?
Right.
How would you feel if they did that after you passed?
Probably very proud that they would actually be bothered to want to put my face on anything of interest, and hopefully it would be something worth looking at.
Well, your face is definitely something that is always worth looking at. Jane Seymour, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Talking about The Kaminsky Method, which is streaming now on Netflix Season 2. You're excellent in it, so everybody go check that out. We'll be back after this break, guys, and we'll be talking all different kinds of Batman news. I know you want it, so we will get to that soon.
Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world of sports, talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it with a rotating band of guests like Matt Nose and Josh McCuga. We've had Taylor Vachetti on. We've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations, and I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Hi, I'm Coy Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video, podcast, interviews all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at youtube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Jesus. Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. A new episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Koi and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
Welcome back to Collider Live. Waiting on that wash gift.
No, we got
it. We got it.
We got it last night.
Yeah.
Where was I? Well, you didn't check Twitter then. It's on Twitter.
I didn't get it. Yeah. I didn't see it.
It's there.
Wait, you're always bitching at me for not seeing
it. Do you know what it is? You have a blue check mark, right?
Yeah.
So I figured out the algorithm when you have a blue check mark. So if you don't check verified, you don't see people that like you unverified. If you go to your mentions, if you've never liked one of theirs or they don't have like, you know, a certain number of followers, it won't pop up on your feed. You have to actually go to the tweet or they have to like.
So shit. Thanks to Il Monstro for
Il Monstro.
Let me see it. There it is.
Also known as Il Monstro.
That's what that's what Doreen
is. Thank you for translating to our English-speaking audience.
That is a great gift.
Okay, enough of this. You guys rocked that interview. You guys were awesome.
James Seymour is like my girl crush times a bajillion.
I mean, I was trying not to drool because she's so cool.
First of all, and also, beautiful. Do you guys know she's never had any plastic surgery done? She never had anything done.
That's why you watch, like,
I know.
Of course.
I don't want to toot, like, you know, my mother-in-law and my mother are extremely, extremely gorgeous women that have never had an ounce of plastic surgery. And my mother-in-law,
Grammy's
92,
never had any plastic surgery.
My grandma's never had it. She looks amazing. But Jane Seymour kind of reminds me of my mother-in-law, because like my mother-in-law, she's all about philanthropy and she's a painter and she teaches horse riding and like all that kind of stuff.
She's also underprepared.
It's weirdly, it's weird enough. Like, I would figure that my mother-in-law, her, would be friends. Do you know what I mean? Like, Frances Fisher was at my wedding. Like, I feel like they're all in the
same thing. Her speech about her whole philosophy on life, like, after her near-death experience or whatever, like, that was I wanted to hug her because I completely agree. Like, it was just so beautiful how she worded it. She's the coolest
She
man.
Also is somebody who clearly practices what she preaches.
Yeah. Yes.
Which I really appreciate, as opposed to a lot of celebrities will go out and say that you should do good for the world, but then they don't.
Right.
I hope I didn't come across as like some dude that was like, I've been in love with you since I was 10 years old.
I don't think so. I think we all kind of did. I think we've all been in love with her since we were kids. So.
I'm glad that you got my webbed fingers and toes joke.
What did she say? She said that.
She's like, I love that. That was so inappropriate.
Yeah, but so inappropriately funny.
Inappropriately perfect.
It was. I was like, he's a swimmer. He can make those jokes. As if that's like me making Jewish jokes.
I have swimmer friends. I have friends who swim.
I like Aquaman.
I'm not making fun of swimmers. I have friends who are swimmers, okay? Yeah, crazy.
That was so cool, man. Like, and then she's like, I'd love to bring my kids. I'm like, please bring them. Please come every day.
I love her. She's welcome anytime.
We've done a lot of interviews on this show. We have. Yeah. And, you know, like, I love our interview that time with Todd Gardner.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite interviews we've ever done. But this takes the cake. I mean, way better than anything, obviously, Van Damme. I mean, I was looking forward to that, and then I was sorely disappointed. more disappointed than anything in the world.
I said yes.
But her coming in here and being how she was like, it was, honestly, for me, it's like a kid that grew up in Pittsburgh that watched Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman on Friday nights. Like, as somebody that, like, grew up loving Jane Seymour, from the James Bond movies to everything everything in between. To actually sit here and get to talk to her for 30 minutes was like really surreal for me. It was
really
cool.
It was really crazy. Yeah. And she said to us out there, she was like, I want to take a picture with you guys for my Instagram. And I was like,
we're all going to look like idiots just smiling super wide.
She was like,
swipe
up. I was like,
You're great. But we do have a ton of news to get to today. So I know that we could do 2 more hours on Jane Seymour and a love fest for her. But we also have Batman stuff to talk about. So let's just get right into it because, Riley, we've been hit with some news.
We have.
I guarantee you, Josh, you don't actually. Wait, Riley, don't say it out loud. Josh, what is the news?
Are you guys really? You think that little of me?
Cover it up. Cover it up.
You think that little of me?
Mm. What
Colin
is the news?
Colin Farrell is going to be Penguin.
And
Matthew McConaughey is going to be Riddler.
Nope.
Two-Face.
Mm. Paul Dano is going to be Riddler, but that was announced before.
Andy Serkis is going to be...
Alfred.
Thank you.
McConaughey,
big rumor. Big rumor that THR said nope.
So the actual news, Riley, is that they're in talks.
Warner Brothers, thanks to Deadline, is reporting that Colin Farrell is negotiating right now to play the Penguin. And if the deal closes... He's part of the trio of villains that include Paul Dano as Riddler and Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman. So here we are.
So why are there so many villains?
Okay, so they're doing a rogues gallery.
I mean, I know what that term means.
Okay.
But I also saw Amazing Spider-Man 2. I know you're a fan. Amazing Spider-Man 1. Spider-Man 3. There was like 37 villains thought that ruined that movie.
But this is more a team of villains kind of thing. And we don't know how much. I think they're setting up for... possible spin-offs, future things with these villains. Like I don't know that they're all going to be in
Joker.
A ton.
It could be something similar to Long Halloween,
Halloween,
right?
It's
when Halloween takes place in the middle of the week, and so it's a really long Halloween.
It's a very popular comic book in the Batman lore that fans love, and it's basically it's all the villains that you can imagine. Not like Calendar Man or anything like that, but Penguin, Catwoman.
But Condiment King, isn't it?
Is he?
So is Kite Man.
Yeah, he might be.
He's coming with all the ketchup.
You shall rue the day, sir. Kite Man shall fly again.
Oh, no. I got stuck in telephone wires.
The tree. Cursed the tree.
Again.
The tree.
Oh, my arch enemy.
Condiment King comes with the mustard to get you out. Squeeze him.
We meet again, Wind.
Surely you jest hot dog and hamburger. Condiment King shall rue the day. Shall rue it.
I would watch if James Dean wasn't in it.
We meet again.
Guys, James Dean and talks for Kite Man and Batman.
Now, listen. Okay. You're going to get me to watch Kite Man? It better be a James Dean Evan hologram.
Darina, go ahead. So, Long Halloween.
Who is the casting person? Because, holy shit, for this movie, for the Batman. Because they are – I'm so happy with every choice. I mean, Paul Dano, Zoe Kravitz. This is amazing. Yeah. Jeffrey Wright.
Almost got Jonah Hill.
So here's what we will say, though.
Favorite Zoe, Deschanel or Kravitz?
Kravitz.
Ooh, Kravitz probably. I like Deschanel, though.
I did go to school growing up with a girl named Zoe Kraus, and she would be last on the list.
Okay,
so.
Cool.
She was perfectly fine. Just saying. I just wanted you to know I do like Zoe Deschanel.
Okay, got it.
So anyway.
Sorry, I didn't mean that.
We love a lot of Zoes here.
Love a lot of Zoes.
My niece, Zoe. Yeah.
Would you like me to step on your toes again, Roxy?
Yeah, please. But they're a little far this way, though, so you're going to have to really reach to jam it on my toes.
Okay.
But for Batman casting, Riley, before we went on air, you were like, usually in talks means that it's a definite.
Right.
But I will say, for all things DC and specifically Batman, it does not necessarily mean that.
Well said, Ron.
Jonah Hill was in talks for quite some time. It didn't happen. Nicholas Holt was in talks as well to play Batman. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we went with Robert Pattinson, who was in talks first. Mm-hmm. So talks could mean... But talks doesn't necessarily mean. Remember when this happened we said Alec Baldwin was in talks for the Joker movie, and Alec Baldwin didn't end up being in the Joker movie.
Right.
So
Who was he supposed to be?
I think he was going to be Thomas Wayne.
Oh, that makes sense.
So it's not confirmed yet for either Penguin or the...
Deadline is saying negotiating.
I think he was Robert De Niro's character.
Was he?
But I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember
either.
Just saying that this happens... all of the time where people go from being in talks to no longer talking.
Well, we're getting a little bit closer because they say they are negotiating with Colin Farrell. So the in talks have moved.
And Jonah Hill was negotiating as well.
Right. So it can fall apart, but it looks very promising.
So
let's put it that way.
Let's talk about this as if this is the case.
Let's do it.
So Do you guys like this casting choice? Both, do you like both these casting choices? And are you surprised by either of them?
I was surprised about Colin Farrell as Penguin. I wasn't mad at it. Like, at first I was like, oh, that's a really weird choice. But because he's played so many different types of characters, I think he can totally do it, right? Everything from In Bruges to even the remake of Fright Night, right? He played this, like, really cool Jerry Dandridge and, like, I'm sorry, but it's really hard to top Chris Sarandon, right? And he did a really good job.
He almost did for me.
Yeah, he's really good. Yeah. And so I'm actually really happy with this.
Jonah Hill was asking for 10 mil, and or that's the rumor, and didn't get what he wanted, do you think that Colin Farrell is a bigger draw and somebody who could ask for more money than Jonah Hill, or somebody who would take less money because he wanted to be in the Batman movie? All of this being speculation. I have no idea what they're actually being offered pay-wise.
So this is going to be like a totally Hollywood name dropper thing. I've been lucky enough to hang out with Colin Farrell, like a friend of mine.
Good for you.
Thank you, Cody.
Yeah. Let's be honest.
What about James Dean's hologram?
Yeah, he and I off the 46.
I texted James Dean's hologram. Yes. I still haven't heard back.
You guys need to move on from the James Dean stuff. He's my friend.
And let's be honest, we've said on the show a billion times and on TV talk and everything. Without Colin Farrell, True Detective Season 2 is almost unwatchable. Mm. Like, it's almost just like a skip. Okay. And so, that's coming from a guy that loves Vince Vaughn and loves Rachel McAdams. But Colin Farrell is like the most genuinely cool guy. He's one of us. All he wants to do is just hang out. He's been sober for a long time, but he just loves hanging out with his buddies. I don't think that like a crazy money issue would be the thing that would keep him out of this. I think, honestly, he just wants to work. He loves working, and he thinks that this is an amazing project. I doubt there would be some money thing where he's like, if you're not paying me 10, I'm out.
Exactly.
So
I agree
when they're
with
in negotiations.
He did Fantastic Beasts. I mean, of course.
When they're in negotiations right now, then, Josh, do you think there is a sticking point? Do you think it's a creative sticking point? Or do you think that this is just classic negotiations? Sometimes it takes
anything,
a while.
Like, maybe Colin Farrell wants to have a say in, like, hey, if you're going to do a Penguin movie, I'd like to be your Penguin. I would like write a first refusal, and maybe
so he doesn't want what happened to Jared Leto to happen to him. Right.
That's a great call.
I also love that the Andy Serkis thing is cool to me because we're all used to seeing him play all these amazing characters with CG, right?
Yeah.
So even with he played sort of a Fox News guy in that Long Shot movie.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that?
Yes,
with Charlize Theron and Seth
Rogen.
But he had really cool heavy makeup that I didn't even know it was him.
Didn't either.
Until after I saw the credits. So I'm excited to watch him in a franchise movie without any makeup.
Is it crazy for me to play Alfred? For me to think that, like, almost I would, if I was typecasting, and that's why I'm not a casting director, I would flip the roles. I would make Colin Farrell the badass Alfred, and I would make Andy Serkis the Penguin, because I think Andy Serkis might have more of like a penguinish range. But maybe they're going for a new look on Penguin.
And maybe Andy wants to do just to play in, like, similar to, what's it called, Black Panther, right? Maybe he just wants to play like a character.
I get it.
I do see what you're saying in terms of Andy Serkis being Penguin. I don't think Colin Farrell would be a good choice for Alfred. But my thing with Andy Serkis specifically.
Are you taking shots at me now? Jesus, hologram James Dean. Take it easy.
With Andy Serkis specifically, I'm really surprised by this casting choice because of what's going on with Venom. I just think that that's interesting that
he's directing
Venom 2. And that doesn't mean he can't do this by any means. Just a lot of the times you don't have such major roles on
two
different aisles.
When are they shooting
Venom
2? Have they started yet?
I think they're getting close. I'm not sure. But to your point, Roxy, that might be why he's doing Alfred, because Alfred, you know, usually is a supporting character to Batman. So not a lot probably in the movie, but maybe they're going to change that. Because I was thinking he was going to be a great Penguin. I kept calling he was going to be Penguin. So Alfred was a surprise. Maybe it's because of Venom 2.
Right.
He's like, he can pop in. He can film all the scenes with Batman in the Batcave, however they're doing it, and then go off and do Venom 2.
Doing all the franchises, man, because
I love that.
He's MCU, he's Sony.
Yeah, he's Sony. He's Warner Brothers.
Obviously Disney. It's crazy. Good for him.
He's obviously the best person for all these roles in these gigs, directing and otherwise that people like.
Like you just said, for directing. Like, he's going across the aisle directing. He's acting, you know, he's running the gamut right now. And I think that that's really cool. And he's such a great talent. I'm just surprised.
Yeah,
I was surprised that he was the pick for Alfred. But really, really interesting selection. And I think that the Batman, of all of the DC, Marvel, Sony, Star Wars, every nerddom slate right now, the Batman's casting has been the most spot on to
me. Oh, yeah. It's
every single pick I have really enjoyed, and these two are no exception.
Yeah.
I think that they'll knock it out of the park if they are, in fact, cast.
Which is why I want the casting person to join my coven, because holy shit, like I said, this is one of the best.
Who is in your coven?
Yeah, who is?
You and Kate.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You guys can be in it, but you have to actually audition.
Well,
no, I'm not going to do that.
This weekend? Audition? This weekend when we're having our seance?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I'm good.
What's Josh's audition look like?
No, well, you have to come to the seance at Riley's grandma's house.
Yeah, yeah, she's coming to my grandma's house.
And then we're going to try
we're ghost hunting
to
this weekend.
Mark's
grandma. Cody, talking to you for a second, how do you feel about these casting choices?
I love it. I've never seen Colin Farrell get cast in something and been like, I don't like this. So yeah. I think it's pretty spot on, I think.
Alex, you're in on these also?
I love it. I think the biggest crime of Grindelwald was replacing him with Johnny Depp.
Thank you.
Don't tell Frank you said that.
I also think I had a theory that WB was waiting on, Richard Jewell for that to come out and see how Paul Walter Hauser does.
Mm.
So I'm surprised that they cast him this early now.
It's Clint Eastwood.
Right.
With one of the best Photoshop posters I've ever seen.
Right.
Yeah. They just put John Hamm's head in a crowd, and he's just literally like, and it's like, bang up job,
marketing
team.
It sounds like we're all into this casting.
Yeah. Hells yeah.
And hope that it works out for the Batman.
Similar to Suicide Squad, though, for me, it's like, at first when I heard, oh, they're doing the Suicide Squad, I'm like, okay, whatever. And then when I heard about who's involved, it got me excited. Same thing with this. Like, at first I was like, they're already doing another Batman. The entire cast and crew has me super excited for this movie.
I can't tell you a movie I'm less excited for than Suicide Squad. Literally.
Yeah.
That's not true. You're excited for Suicide Squad too.
Am I?
Suicide Squad.
The Suicide Squad.
You're excited.
Have you seen the cast?
For Suicide Squad.
I saw the poster. No.
But this is the people.
Fool me once.
This is
shame
people
on you.
Like Condiment King. Like, we're going to get Polka Dot Man. Like, what the flying fuck?
Yeah, I
but
know
what is
that?
David Dasmachi, and we love him.
I know. I love all the cast members. I loved all the cast members of the first Suicide Squad. I even like Eyebrows McGee. I like her.
But why are you excited about the Batman but not the Suicide Squad?
Hold on, I'm not even there yet. Who's Eyebrows McGee? Enchantress?
Oh, Enchantress.
Cara Delevingne?
Yeah.
You love her?
Yes.
What's happening?
Why wouldn't I love her?
You loved Enchantress?
I'm saying I loved all the actors and actresses. It has Will Smith in it, for Christ's sake. It has Will Smith in it.
It's almost like a Bad Boys movie.
It's not. Hmm. It's not anything like a Bad Boys
movie.
Soundtrack.
And you
will mind
Let's
your
go.
Tongue.
Mark Riley, what other news
Wait, hold
do we
on
have
real quick.
On the
I have a question, and I don't want to look at IMDb.
Sure, why
you just
not?
Need to answer this for me.
Okay.
Was Andy Serkis the boss in 13 Going on 30 at Pose? Or at Yes, right?
Yes.
Is that the Jennifer Garner movie?
That's a yes.
Yeah.
With
Jennifer
Mark
Garner
Ruffalo,
and Mark
right?
Ruffalo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that one of those water fountain movies where you switch bodies?
No, it's like Big, where she becomes older.
She gets older.
Still a teenager in an adult woman's body.
Shut up if you've never seen it.
I've seen it. I just didn't remember.
What?
You know I don't remember these things.
You should love that. The movie is so good. The movie is beyond good.
It's one of the best movies ever made.
Thank you, Cody.
Excuse me. Can somebody hand me the talking stick for a second? Talking stick.
The conch?
Yeah, talking stick.
Conch?
Conch. It's actually pronounced conch.
Really?
Josh,
yeah.
I feel as if today you're being extra hard on me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? This is a hard time.
Well, Roxy, tell you two things. One, you need to see 13 Going on 30 to appreciate the perfect cinema that is 13 Going on 30. Second of all, James Dean as a hologram is stupid.
Okay. I've never agreed more with Josh before.
Fair enough. Mark Riley, what other stories we have?
Yeah. Kite Man, give it to us. Kite Man.
We meet again, Wind.
Should we have the phone lines open up?
I'm thinking in 10 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to open them now?
Sure.
We'll get there. Let's cover some more news so that we can get everybody in on it. Do you want to talk more Fantastic Beasts? Because there is a new article on here.
I do.
Okay. It's going to feature more Hogwarts, and more hot Dumbledore.
Oh.
In a course
it's
correction.
As I corrected you the other day, it's Dumbledore.
Dumbledore. Yes.
Let's talk about this.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. Question.
So,
who's hot Dumbledore? I'm sorry. Who's hot Dumbledore?
So young, mad at you right now.
Young
Jude Law.
Oh, Jude Law.
Jude Law is...
The only acceptable part of the movie at all was hot Dumbledore.
I haven't seen the second one.
But why isn't Michael Gambon or what's his name? Hot Dumbledore. The older ones. They're pretty hot, too.
Yeah, Michael Gambon and...
Richard
Harris.
Thank you.
When we're talking about the things that can get me excited for this movie, which I've already let you know are no things.
Right.
There are no things that can get me excited for this movie.
Not even hologram but James Dean?
I will say no, not even hologram James Dean can get me excited for Fantastic Beasts 3.
Okay.
But what I will say is they should be trying to get some people excited. And the thing that worked about the last Fantastic Beasts movie was hot Dumbledore. People loved hot Dumbledore. They didn't like how little he was in the movie.
Correct.
So that's smart. And people love Hogwarts. So if they're trying to say, hey, guys, we know we fucked up with the last movie and that our core fan base did not love this movie. We hear you. We're going Hogwarts and hotties. Hogwarts and hotties. I think people are going to probably say, okay, thanks for listening. We appreciate that.
She's going to be in Little Women soon, which I've
She is not born yet.
Right. I'm an idiot.
But I think the Harry Potter fan base is going to see this movie no matter what, right? Like
yes.
The hardcore Harry Potter fans. I still don't care. If it's on TV, I'll watch it. Unless people say it's amazing, right? But it's probably, the fact that they're announcing this, they're feeding into the nostalgia aspect of it. They're like, come watch our movie because you're going to see things you're familiar with that you already love.
The two other movies didn't work very well for the fandom and for critics and whatnot. So let's put in Hogwarts and let's take Jude Law and promote him to one of the leads.
Mark, this is what it reminds me of, though.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Very similar sounding to Thor. First Thor, liked it fine.
Great.
Second Thor, actual dog shit.
Yep.
We got to the third Thor and everybody was like, I don't know if I'm going to even see. I mean, it's part of the MCU, but like, I don't even.
And then
Taika
Waititi's like, F you, here we go.
And he was like, oh, this is actually one of the best movies in the franchise.
Yes.
So there is hope.
Absolutely, there's hope.
Of course there's hope.
I would give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Go back to Hogwarts. Sure, I wanted to see more of that. I like knowing what they're doing back then, before Harry Potter was ever born, before Voldemort. We're getting there. They're dropping hints of Voldemort. I think we're going to get to a point where these two the two timelines, I should say, will now carry over and we'll know more about probably Voldemort. But it screams a little bit desperate to me.
For sure. For sure.
And,
I think they
Vima,
know that.
Like
everybody knows
that. I would love to be a desperate rich corporation.
Is anybody called Voldemort like Vimo? What up, Vimo?
What up, V?
Like, any
Yo,
of his
V.
Boys?
I don't think Voldemort has many nicknames, considering he is
Tom Riddle.
The boy who must not be named. Tom Riddle.
Tom Riddle. He must not be named.
I don't think Vimo is one of
them. Especially because there's a Vimo in Adventure Time.
Vimort!
V-Mort.
Dude, V-Mort. What's up?
I don't like it.
HP.
Why are you, HP, the dick.
Why are you talking about it like you guys found a good solution?
No.
We did.
Cody, don't do that to me. Cody, don't do that. I do want to say, though, because speaking of dog shit movies, sorry, that's a really mean way to segue into this, but guys, I watched something last night that I had quite a hard time getting through.
Are you allowed to
and
talk
that
about
apparently
it?
Somebody else in this office did
I
not.
Woke up this morning.
Is this a Perry thing?
Yeah.
No.
You know what?
No,
I actually think we need to get Roka for this.
Yes,
Roka.
We do.
We need Roka.
I'll leave.
I woke up this morning.
Thanks, V-Mort.
To a tweet from John Roka.
Hey, everyone, this is John Roka.
Raving about this movie. Now, I will say I sat behind him during the movie, so I had a feeling that he was going to be as obsessed with it as he was. John, okay.
I really am interested why you love it and why you hate it.
This movie is Last Christmas.
Oh, I thought we were talking James Dean.
We're talking Last Christmas. James Dean, I'm outnumbered by as well. But Last Christmas.
Are you with him being digital? Are you okay with it?
I think I am.
I'm too.
Oh.
What? I yelled it.
That will be the last time that we agree during this segment.
Because once you sign away your rights, they have a right to do what they want with the project. And guess what? If people don't like it, they won't go see the movie.
Guess what, though? James Dean just took away a job for you.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. Because they searched far and wide for the perfect casting for this.
I feel like they took away a job from John.
Yeah.
Again, they cast a dead guy after looking for other actors.
Okay.
I understand your frustration, and that's how I feel too, just about something completely different.
Yeah. Fine.
We go and see Last Christmas last night, and it was seriously, seriously challenging for me to get through.
What is the movie? Is it a romance movie?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a Christmas romance.
It's a Paul Feig movie.
Okay.
It is starring Daenerys Targaryen.
Emilia Clarke?
Daenerys.
Yeah. She had bleached hair, so then we refer to her
Mother
as Dany. And Henry Golding.
Okay. Mm.
And this movie is supposed to be so up my alley, it's insane.
Yeah.
I love love. I love
Christmas?
No, I don't. I'm a Jew, so we don't do that. But I love
happy holidays.
I love like things like Love Actually. I love holiday movies typically.
Mm-hmm. Gremlins, Batman Returns.
And I went into this thinking probably other people won't like this movie, but I will.
Right.
And very quickly, about 15 minutes into the movie, I said out loud, "Uh-oh."
What? Why? Why? What happened?
Which I heard, by the way.
Uh-oh. Because it just was like, uh-oh, I know I'm not going to like this. And I kept trying to write that horse. But I wake up to a text message from you, John Rocha.
A tweet. Raving. I just love
Roxy,
the idea of you texting
you
her,
Roxy,
rubbing
it
in.
You were raving about this. Why?
I absolutely loved it. I had such a great time. I thought it was very fun. I thought it's the best movie she's done since she's been doing Game of Thrones, and she has not had a good track record in the theaters with her movies. And
what was that one about the guy who ends up in the wheelchair and it was hot? Oh my God! I'll give you this. That movie was way worse because that movie was offensive. This movie was not offensive.
No, it was to me. It's a very sweetheart of a Christmas film, and it's got a great message about like kind of embracing your life after you have ideas of what your life was supposed to be.
What is the message?
It's about embracing your life as it is and being okay with walking away from things that are unhealthy for you and loving yourself again.
I thought it was about giving up on your dreams.
No.
Because that's really what it felt like to me.
Why?
You're saying walking away from things that aren't healthy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there was some no spoilers, but there were some choices made by both of these main stars that I was like,
woof.
What?
Wait,
Henry, did you not like
the story?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so it wasn't
that was the bad
so it
part.
Wasn't the filmmaking aspect, the acting.
I didn't actually think the direction was great either.
Wow.
Which is interesting because I think that he's rad.
Yeah.
I loved what's his last movie?
A Simple Favor. That movie.
Simple Favor was incredible. Yeah. And I typically try not to when I see movies, you guys know I don't usually negatively speak about movies on this show. And I probably would not have talked about this movie at all had it not been the fact that I woke up and saw your tweet and was like, wait, I thought we were all on the same page, but John was laughing an awful lot.
Yeah.
Do you think that – is there a Rotten Tomato score on this, Cody?
Yes, there is. It's at 48%.
Oh, that's a shame.
Split in the middle. Yeah. So that's you go.
That's split in the middle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bring up The Last Jedi. Never mind.
Is this the critic score? What about the audience score? Yay, let's talk about Last Jedi.
So this is, John, a movie you would recommend to people who
– no audience score
what?
Yet. Because we haven't.
Who love Christmas? Who love love? And who want to like? I think
so. Not for me.
Yeah, probably. I don't know though. You surprise me sometimes.
I know.
You know. But I thought it was. You know, for a Christmas movie, what are you expecting? Right? You want to have
Gremlins?
A lot of fun. You want to? God, I hope not. You want to have a lot of fun. You want to like turn just fall in love with the season. Like Love Actually has plot holes left and right all through it, but there's a sweetness to it that you enjoy, and I think there's a sweetness to this film that I really enjoy. She's radiant. Her smile.
You were rooting for her.
Hell yes.
I wanted to stalk her in the face.
Why?
Because
you haven't made mistakes in your life as a young woman?
Of course I have.
Why do you want to stalk her in the face?
The way that she treats her family in this, which obviously we no spoilers, but I was like, you're a brat.
But is she supposed to be, though?
Yes.
Yes, I guess so.
Okay, so maybe you just didn't like the character more so than the story.
Right, she has an arc.
Oh, I thought that the story was the worst part for sure.
Okay.
I didn't like the character, so that didn't help.
Okay. So you just weren't rooting for them? Oh my God, no.
I was like wondering if there was the end of this was going to be that they all got hit by a bus or something.
Right.
And like, I, it just, it fell off so quickly for me because of some of the decisions that they made.
Interesting. All right. I liked that because she had an arc. She was a brat, but she also had a very traumatic thing happen to her that she was recovering from. And so sometimes people go through traumatic things. They act in strange ways. They go into these depressions or they do these things that are self-destructive, and they have to find their ways out. And I think that's what her journey was in the film. And by the end, no spoilers, there's I think that it's a perfect Christmas message so about there's what actual, I said at the end.
There's actual character growth.
In my opinion, there is. Yeah,
whereas you didn't think that.
No. I will say at the end, somebody in our theater yelled. Did you hear that?
No.
You didn't hear the person behind us yell? What did they?
Oh, no. I heard them in the back. Yeah, they were yelling in a positive way.
In a positive way.
What did they yell?
Well, there's something happened.
They were like, whoa!
Oh, and there was another moment right afterwards where the same person goes, you think?
Yeah. And, right, and people it was one of those movies where, and this happened to me in Hellboy also, people started speaking out loud towards the end of the movie. And it's like, there's some rare movies that audience members no longer feel like they're at the movies because they just start talking out loud.
I think Taken 3 is one of those. I was in a theater with Taken 3 and people were literally like, we all got together and just started like yelling at the screen and laughing at what was happening and just
But this was 50-50 yelling. This was half the people were yelling positive and half the people were like,
right.
It was a weird mixed reaction.
So is Last Christmas the new Last Jedi? Is that what we're saying?
Once again, this is a Christmas
movie. Cody's like, no!
Fun Christmas movie. Nothing else. It's lightweight. It's cotton candy.
Did you think
cane.
It could be
it's
on
fun.
Lifetime?
No.
So you think it's above Lifetime quality? Is that what you're saying?
So here's what's
the
funny.
Blind Side. That's Lifetime.
You were not looking necessarily for it, and because you thought, and I'm like, what looks
bad.
Like a Lifetime movie kind of thing.
And
you're like, I don't know. And I went, Paul Feig though, he's great, you know. And you went, all right, I'll go. I'm happy to hear you enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. You, Roxy, I agree with a lot of things. So. I guess I have to go see this.
I need you guys to see it.
Apparently,
just to talk to us.
Now
about
I'm just
it.
Curious about it.
Thank you, John, for your time.
Thank you, my friend.
This is the most civil we've ever been while disagreeing with each other.
Yeah, that's the way it works in life. Yeah.
Character growth.
Will you
well
bring
done,
Josh back in? Because we are definitely going to take some live calls. Let's open up those phone lines. But in the meantime, Riley, anything else?
Oh, did you guys see the new Mandalorian trailer? Right?
Yeah.
New Mandalorian trailer dropped. It's very very short. You get just not a lot more of plot. I would say more imagery, more, you know, what to expect, more cool action. And I'm sorry, Nick Nolte as an Ugnaught is just the greatest thing coming to Disney Plus.
Wait, Nick Nolte's in Mandalorian?
Nick Nolte is an Ugnaught in The Mandalorian.
Do you want to explain what that means to Josh?
So you remember in The Empire Strikes Back?
Yes.
Where C-3PO is blown up. Right, and we're on Cloud City, okay? And then they start. Chewbacca
you don't
starts
remember
looking.
Remember, Chewbacca's carrying him like a backpack.
Oh, right.
Chewbacca
right.
is now going into the junk, getting C-3PO, and there's these little dudes that are trying and they're playing keep away with Chewbacca with 3PO's head.
Yes.
So one of those creatures is in the Mandalorian, and it's Nick Nolte.
Get out of here.
In motion capture.
Does that make you excited, Josh?
I mean, it's Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I thought the Mandalorians were just a legend.
You want to know what? I really
That's the worst thing Nolte I've ever done.
I really like this trailer.
Great.
It wasn't that different, but for some reason, the way it was strung together got me more excited than previously.
I want to look up the cinematographers because it looks beautiful. Like it's going to be. I feel like this is like the new Game of Thrones in the visual aspect of it. Like it's going to be a really cool looking show. I'm
Guys,
excited about this.
It's less than a week. We have 6 days to this thing.
Yeah,
finally.
Yeah,
we've been talking about it for so long.
Sweeping shots of the sunset kind of thing, but then the up close of the characters. Mm-hmm. Nick Nolte's a little funny, but we're also this is. You said it had some Terminator vibes.
The score sounded like Terminator.
Yeah,
it had like some beats like dun 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 dun.
Do we?
Do
we know who's the composer?
I think it's Johan Johansson.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fucking not.
Yeah, I think so.
Shut the fuck up.
I will.
Are you serious?
Let's look it up. Yeah.
But he's dead.
No. Sorry.
Ludwig.
Oh God.
Was that his last project?
Ludwig Göransson.
Van Göransson, who did Black Panther.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
I
totally messed that up in my head.
Composers could come back.
He's a hologram.
Yeah, hologram.
If they could come back and compose it, I am all for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Cody, let us know when we have a call. We are officially ready for them.
my God,
not
that was.
Right now.
Did we announce, the,
right
did
now,
we announce the pre-tape, or do are we not?
Yes. So we good yes, call. Good call. So after this show at about noon, we are going to be doing a pre-tape for you guys for Monday, which we are going to be off for Veterans Day.
Correct.
So we will be opening up the phone lines. You can tweet at me. You can hashtag Collider Live.
Send us
and
your questions.
Send some questions. Mm-hmm. We're going to have just a fun episode that's all going to be about you guys.
From
so,
12 to 1, call in anytime during
yeah,
that time.
Yeah, we'll cue you. We'll send a tweet out from Collider Video and all our socials that with the number, and you can call us and ask us anything. So
yes.
There's going to be an
anything.
Hour of that stuff. So get ready and get excited.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, there we
wow.
go. Okay,
really
that was
cool.
There
we go.
Oh,
you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you from?
What's going on? It's Iko the Rain Man calling you guys back.
What's up,
right. Iko? Great to have you. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, two things. Well, three things, actually. Roxy, you're doing a great job steering the ship.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Co-steering.
And, oh, yeah, I got something for Josh.
Okay.
The other day, you guys were working on puns for Fantastic Geek.
Okay, good.
Let's do this.
Here we go.
All right. So,
oh, no.
Funny enough, my No, this is actually pretty – it's safe.
Okay.
My friend released an album earlier this year, which was called Fantastic Beats and Where to Find Them.
Yeah, so, I did that. I said that one, too, yesterday. It was more of like a thing with Dr. Dre's beats, but also in accordance with Ruth Negga's Rutabaga's, you know, Fantastic Beats and Where to Find Them is my neighboring beat farm.
I also saw somebody tweet at you because of our Yacht Rock Love, and they said Fantastic Fleets and Where to Find Them.
Oh, that's good.
But just curious, though, you wouldn't let our caller have it? The Fantastic Beats?
No, because I said it yesterday. But that's okay. Hey, listen, man, as long as we're all in the pun world.
Can I tell you, though?
What?
You said it yesterday, but didn't you say that your friend's album dropped prior to yesterday?
Yeah, it was actually.
Oh! Logic.
However, I believe I sent out a tweet 2 years ago when this movie was coming out about Fantastic Beats and Where to Find Them.
Prove it. Whip it out.
Kids, you're but both awful.
Listen.
Wait, sorry.
Both
what?
Your dad jokes suck.
Go ahead with your one more thing.
Sorry, it's a little Family Guy reference.
I was hoping you guys could help me out with this one. Maybe Cody could help out. You know how Disney has a bunch of animated movies that came straight to like VHS?
Oh, yeah.
Pardon me, like TV back in the day? Like, not a lot of people know that Lion King has a sequel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like The Lion Guard.
Return
of
Jafar.
Has Robin. Yeah. Which of these animated movies do you think would probably be appropriate to adapt into a sequel for the live-action Disney remakes that they're doing right now, like Aladdin, even maybe Lion King, or whatnot? I know that there's a few of them, so I don't know if you guys are able to pull up a list and just see which ones have you seen or have you not seen and would probably, you know, be appropriate for a live-action adaptation.
Dee, do you have any?
Honestly, my first thought was Return of Jafar because that's the only one I really liked as a kid.
That's
but I haven't
I
seen
going.
Many of the – like, I saw the Lion King one. I wasn't into that one. I think there was, like, a weird Pocahontas one I also did not like as much.
Wasn't there a Bambi one or
maybe.
Something?
Maybe. I feel like they've had all these die? Weird – no.
No, but Bambi.
Well, not in the Bambi's Disney gone. Movie.
Bambi's mom's dead. Bambi's alive.
Yeah.
Well, that we know of.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, true. So.
No, Pocahontas, yeah, like, tore shit up, man.
Oh, no. I thought she died.
Like,
why
in the movie?
That? I don't know. I never saw it.
Oh.
Too much singing.
No. I can't think of what the sequels were.
I do
but
like
I,
that one song.
I can't think of what the sequels were, but I do think that they might have had more success, not financially, but word of mouth-wise, if they had done a Lion King 2, because the biggest criticism for Lion King was that it didn't need to be made because it's
the
really
exact
live
same movie.
It's the same movie, and it's not really live action. So maybe if they did that for a sequel kind of thing,
right,
people would have been more excited about it.
Maybe.
We'll get to you, Josh. We will get to you. I know. I know. Mark, any ones that you can think of?
Shut up, Mark. All right, here we go.
Okay. just you know what? You're leaving, so I'll give it to you.
Fine, Josh. All right. I will say we have pulled
I've
up Josh's tweet.
I've said it a million times. The Fox movie needs to be made live action. There we
the
go.
The Fox
movie.
Oh,
you mean
Fox
Robin Hood?
No, Robin Hood with the Fox.
No.
Okay, so
I disagree.
Josh's tweet dated November 15th, 2018.
Yeah, that's
I've said it once. I'll say it again. Dr. Dre not releasing a Fantastic Beats line of headphones is a missed marketing opportunity.
And then so there you go.
I'd like to tweet out recognize Dominic the Shorebum, a.k.a. at D from the beach. This, however, is probably the worst tweet of the night. And you know what? And you know what, Dominic? I will hold strong that you are correct.
You are you're right on.
Listen,
the money there.
I'm nothing if not my own, like, worst enemy. Knowing full well that a lot of my tweets are terrible. I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't.
That's
why I love them. Makes me giggle and it gets 20 right. likes, I don't care. And then I tweet out what's wrong with The Last Jedi and it gets 4,000 likes and 100,000 comments. I don't care.
I do love your strong defense over the fact, though, that you did think of this one specific pun, like, back in November of 2018.
I also enjoy any time that Josh starts a sentence with, I don't care, and then his voice gets that high. Right. I don't
care. And you realize deep down he cares.
He clearly cares.
He wore the pink shirt for a reason today, folks. Yes. It's because he cares.
Hey, Josh, yeah. I just realized something.
What?
Tomorrow's your official last day.
It is. Yeah. I was just talking about
that's
schedule.
A bummer, man.
I know.
All right. Well, anyway, let's take another call.
Monday
Cody,
let us
know we have one. Thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. Yes, it will be his last day officially frequently being here, but
right.
he will be popping in. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll be popping in.
Come on. We're,
yes.
we're calling you. I want it to be Where in the World is Josh Macuga?
Well,
and we're going to call
you. It'll be New York.
Nope. Okay. So you just spoiled it.
Oh, whoops. Because I wanted to. I boxed that.
Thank God for this caller. Caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, my name's Blake from Huntington Beach, California.
Hey, all right.
Hey, Blake, what do you got for us today?
What's up? I am just commenting on the news about Feral and Circus for Alfred and Penguin.
Yeah.
I was thinking about how they're going to make Circus Alfred. Like, are they going to do, like, an extension of what they did with Jeremy Irons, make him more hands-on with the tools and gadgets of Batman?
I hope
that
they do.
That was something that was kind of cool about Irons, is that apparently Snyder, like, said that he was former British SAS, and that's why...
Well, that's what he is in Pennyworth.
How old is Circus, Riley? Do you have any idea?
50.
Is he?
Really?
I would say. Probably.
I would say that he was younger than that, but I... Oh, 55. Wow.
See?
Okay, so
Andy Serkis's age.
You doubt me?
We already did it. It's behind you.
Oh, okay.
So I think that visually they don't need to do much with him then, because Robert Pattinson, that makes sense age-wise.
Correct.
But whether he's hands-on or not, I don't think you bring Andy Serkis in, an actor like him, if you're not having him doing a lot of stuff.
Was I the only one in the room that watched Pennyworth on Epix?
Yes.
Okay, I think
I hear it's great, though.
It's great.
Coy told me it was fantastic.
Epix is not a Pix that I have.
It's the only DC show I've watched that I've really enjoyed until now, Watchmen, if you can.
It is a DC show.
Yeah.
What do you mean if you consider it?
No. Because I was thinking like DC, CW kind of stuff. And it's not, you know what I mean? It's not like exactly a superhero show.
Legion isn't either, but it's still considered a Marvel, Marvel show.
Yeah, right.
Why isn't Watchmen a superhero show?
That's a good question.
Good. I don't mean to make your brain.
You know,
think
Roxy, sometimes I may call you stupid, but let's be honest. If we're talking about the stupidest in the room, it's me.
I just picture you, the Homer Simpson.
I think we're all equally stupid, guys. It's
Thank
fine.
You so much for calling. Really appreciate
Can
that.
Can you put a poll out who's the stupidest? Because I better win that.
How do
can we get Dorian on a poll?
You know, I don't want to open up
that. Who is the stupidest
that?
Collider Live?
Cody, dear God, save us. Let us know when we have another caller.
Roxy, save us.
I hope.
Well, I just heard from our guest that there probably is a God, so I'm going to ask him for shit now.
Oh, okay. God.
Caller, you're on the line. What's your name? Where are you from?
Yo, this is Luke Nelson in New York City. How's it going?
Hey, Luke in New York. Love to have you on the phone. What are you calling about?
Yeah. So, I guess I have a Bad Boys question.
Fuck yeah!
To the room, so. Okay, well.
To the room? Come on.
Yeah, Luke.
Let's just put it to Josh Macuga here.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Luke, what's up?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't they planning a Bad Boys 4 as well after this one? Like, if it does well, theoretically, then they'll do a sequel, right?
Okay, Dorina, you want to take this one? Or?
Well, they've already actually announced a Dune sequel, so let's talk about Dune instead. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Josh.
We're not doing that. okay. So when I talked to Joe Carnahan about Bad Boys 3, he said that it was such a process of trying to even get Bad Boys 3 made. Will Smith said the same thing. It was hard to get Martin Lawrence out of retirement, kind of a situation, to want to do this movie. It was also a very, very, very hard sell to Sony to make this movie. And so I think that the reason that they were calling it Bad Boys for Life was they don't want to go through this process again. I think originally when they kind of announced this was like 2 or 3 years ago. This is like old schmoes and news.
It really was.
Was that they had talked to Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, and they were going to do two of them, and they were going to, you know, it was going to be part of a quadrilogy, whatever you want to call that.
Mm-hmm, that was nailed.
That's
it, yeah.
Crushed
yeah,
it.
That's
but I think quadrilogy. But I think the reason they called it Bad Boys for Life and they did this whole thing is that this will be the last one we see because of how difficult it was to get it made. Now, I don't want to say that for sure, because if this thing crushes, which I hope it will, everybody go see this. Hashtag don't see Doolittle. That's my new hashtag.
It's better than your previous one.
Thank
correct.
You, which is a lot. Hashtag don't see Doolittle. Go see Bad Boys for Life, because if this is awesome, when I say if, I mean I know it's going to be awesome, but I think that
so
some
when
of the
this move, is awesome.
When this is awesome, mm-hmm. and we get a Bad Boys 4, and then they don't know what to name it because they've already named it Bad Boys for Life.
It
might
be crazy.
Yes. I'm with you, man. I'm totally with you because people want to be like.
Bad Boys should be Bad Boys for Life.
Totally. I get it, man. Sony fucking dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Because what?
What's the next one?
Let's go.
Why can't it be Bad Boys 4 for Life?
No, because this one's already called Bad Boys for Life.
The fourth one should be Bad Boys for Life.
Thank you. Luke knows.
The final one.
Luke gets it.
This one should have just been Bad Boys
3.
Should have been Bad Boys 3 with 3 as the S, right?
Sure.
Why, what if this was Bad – what if Bad Boys 4
– Wait, let Luke go. Hold on. I'm sorry. He was kind of like –
Go ahead, Rocky. Go ahead, Rocky.
Oh, wow.
Luke, thank you so much for your respect,
part of the show right now.
Your time, your energy, your effort. I think you are a beautiful soul.
Look, answer the
don't
question.
Make me,
I love
don't
New
me,
York.
Don't make me fill your seat with a Roxy hologram as James Dean.
I was going to ask yet. A question about that, though. Bad Boys 8 in okay. the future, Martin Lawrence and Will Smith holograms. Would you like that?
No, I think we've perfected
okay,
the
just making sure.
Yeah. Here is my question. Okay. What if the fourth movie is Bad Boys 4 Death? And they die.
Rocks.
God, hey, Bad
Luke,
Boys.
Wait, stop. Everybody shut
I'm
up.
So into that.
Everybody
right.
shut up. Luke, yeah. Luke, I blame you for this one because you said no, go ahead, Roxy. And so, Luke, you're a great dude, hell of a caller, but you botched it.
I don't agree with that. Luke, thank you so much for your call.
No,
we really
call.
Appreciate
best,
you calling
man.
In.
You're
you rock. Hell yeah, New York, except when it comes to sports.
But yay, pizza.
Bust.
The Yay Pizza. Bust. And the Statue of Liberty. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Pizza.
I also don't like pizza, to
Broadway.
Be honest. I mean, because of the
Broadway.
Cheese part. So.
You know, remember when I said I rarely call you stupid on the show? This is twice today.
It's not twice, Josh. This is definitely like the seventh time.
Today?
Cody!
Roll back the tape.
You are on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm Philip from Los Angeles.
What's
hey,
up, Phil?
Hey,
damn.
Local guy.
So close and yet so far. Philip, what do you want to talk about?
I honestly didn't know how to get on here. I'm in my dorm room right now.
Nice.
Whoa, Philip.
Where
in
are you
college.
Going to college?
Doing well.
So I was thinking there's the Dune 2 sequel that got announced.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder why. Like, it's so random. Like, I'm a big fan of his work, the director's work. But I just found it so random for a sequel to be announced. Why do you think that happened?
Well, because the because the universe
Phil.
Is so it's such a big universe.
It's
with
vast.
So many books. It's like you could do that. And specifically, Denis, I will watch anything this man makes.
Yeah,
I'm so excited about watching him team up with this cast. With the I think they just switched cinematographers, and I was disappointed that Roger Deakins wasn't going to do it anymore.
Right,
but now
like
they
Dune 1?
Yeah. They have, I believe, the cinematographer that's worked with Matt Reeves before.
Yes.
And so,
we're good.
So yeah, exactly. So.
But I will say that what was announced is that they are writing the sequel.
Right.
So that does not mean we're going to get it. It could mean that they're hedging their bets right now and they're putting something in development because if this thing blows up, like I feel it should and feel like it could because it has a great mythology, then they'll have a script ready to go and we can get a Dune sequel sooner rather than later. And that's if this thing does very well in theaters.
Right. If Denis would do the sequel, right?
Guys,
yes.
Guys, I've really been
thank you so much
for
calling, by the way. Really appreciate it. Josh, go ahead.
The Dune is going to eat shit.
Because of people like you, Josh. God damn it. The hate space.
You're not.
I'm telling you, it's going to bomb.
You're telling everybody to see Bad Boys. I'm telling everyone to see Dune. Because Dune's going to be fucking
Bad
amazing.
Bad Boys is now, for an audience.
Listen, I highly doubt what you're saying is true now because of many different reasons. Number one, there's been so many people excited about this. Number two, the cast is the most.
So many being the people that you talk to in the movie industry.
No.
Call Sky right now and be like, Sky, are
Sky
you psyched for Dune?
Sky does not know what Dune is.
Thank
you.
She knows what Bad Boys is.
I'll tell you what.
Did Sky know about Blade Runner? Because Blade Runner 2049 was a
Blade Runner
2049 is related to this because it's a beautiful sci-fi movie that bombed because of
nobody cares. Exactly.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, right? Like,
but,
I think Dune is
but this
incredible.
Has a stacked cast.
Listen,
every week we get a new announcement about who's in this fucking movie. I didn't care about this movie at all until I was like, wow, everybody and their mother is in this.
Timothée Chalamet
does not sell tickets in middle America.
Rebecca Ferguson, Zendaya, Dave Bautista, Jason Momoa, Oscar Isaac, Josh Brolin, Javier Bardem. Listen, I understand where you're coming from.
I would have sex with like literally all of them.
Same.
I would say that you're
time.
Not far off, Josh. However, I would say that the books that people love, there is a big, huge contingency of people that love those books,
what
like myself.
What would be a bomb opening weekend for Dune? 60?
No.
50?
No.
What's that? Do we know the budget?
I don't think that would be a bomb.
I'm trying to look.
I think probably 30 would be a bomb.
But I know where you're coming from.
Terminator guys did $29 million.
Correct.
Okay. Dune is going to do about the same.
Now listen, if this thing comes out.
But it's probably going to be a better movie though.
It's all about the marketing. I'm sort of with you, Josh. I know where you're coming from. If the marketing does its job to introduce fans that aren't fans of the book and who have the David Lynch movie in their head going, oh, that's stupid. It must be a remake. If they show us Star Wars, if they get people excited that there's a mythology that's so rich and deep like Star Wars, and you see a trailer where you go, holy shit. I think we're having a different conversation.
I guarantee you this trailer will look a lot like Maze Runner or Allegiant.
No.
Oh, God, no.
Jesus.
No.
I'm just telling you what this is going to look like, and I guarantee you right now this movie will bomb.
No.
It will bomb.
No, I think
–
unless
– It could. I'm sort of with you.
I'm not saying you're not wrong, but I would like to be optimistic, and the team of people behind this movie is incredible.
I'm not saying the team of people isn't incredible.
And it depends
on – how many incredible teams are behind
this? And it depends on when it's being released. It depends on how it does with Oscars. There's so many things that could make this movie
successful. Dune is going to be released. Let's go there. Hold on.
Let's go
December 18th, 2020.
Great time
it's coming out next year. No Star Wars movie, okay? We'll probably have an Avatar movie, I think, so that could be a problem.
I'm going to see Dune instead of Avatar.
Oh,
so,
certainly. I will, too. But
– I mean, they're putting it out in Christmas. It's the only thing
the
that –
The only thing
like,
I can – I wish – I want to find the budget on this thing.
Do I want this movie to bomb? No. I'm just telling
yes,
you.
Yes,
I'm
always kind of
sounds like you do,
story,
dude.
Guys.
It's coming out the same day as
Westside excuse
story.
You, Josh. This is going to be a really hard thing for you to answer,
and
but let me ask you this question.
Coming to
let
America.
Let me ask you this question. Here's my question for you, Josh. This is going to be really challenging for you. Would you rather go see Dune or West Side Story?
To be honest with you, Roxy?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Jesus.
Dune.
Oh, okay. Yay! Okay. Well done.
But let me say the other two movies that are coming out this weekend. That's going to split down the middle. You have Dune. You have West Side Story. You have Uncharted. Everybody wants the good video game movie. And you have Coming to America. There's four gigantic movies one Christmas weekend. Gigantic. People have been waiting. And at the Eddie Murphy renaissance right now.
Josh, do you remember when Bumblebee came out the same time as Aquaman, came out the same time as
Mary Poppins,
came out the same time as Spider-Verse?
Yeah. People have a whole week. People have a whole week to actually watch movies
because
it's vacation time.
They all did very well.
Yes.
Mary Poppins destroyed. The other ones did fine.
Okay, Bumblebee kind of didn't do
Bumblebee
as well.
Bumblebee did not do as well. That's true. Bumblebee didn't
they
do
missed,
it.
Because people missed it because of the Transformers.
Listen,
I love that Alex is looking up, did Mary Poppins slay?
No, well, she technically flew.
True.
Did you know
that my friends call me Scary Poppins?
That's pretty good.
Shocker.
Why?
Because I give them, stuff
you
that
come,
makes them
you
happy.
You come flying in, not
I
on
give
an
them
umbrella.
A spoonful of sugar emotionally. But it's a little scary as well. See? Yeah.
What do you fly in on, though? Not an umbrella.
Not an umbrella.
A cannabis
a
umbrella.
A black like witch umbrella with holes in it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Or more like a, what are the witch bucket? Cody, a cauldron.
Like, I feel
cauldron.
Like you fly in
we
with a lightning bolt.
We have time for one more call, so let's go with that, Cody. Let us know when somebody's on the line.
Kind of with Mark Riley, though. Marketing of Dune will be the biggest thing.
It's make or break.
Yes.
Just make or break it.
Yes.
Would you say it's Dune?
Oh!
Cody!
Cody!
Cut it! End the show. End the show, Lexi. No more calls. No. We got a free tape. We got a free tape.
Fine.
We have a caller. No, we have a caller.
Okay. Oh. One more.
I'm so happy for this caller because Josh tried to destroy you, and I would not let it happen. Caller, you're on live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. It's Brett from Tampa. How you doing? Hey,
Brett from Tampa. I saved your life. How do you feel about that, Brett?
Well, I will say the last few minutes waiting on the phone, that was some good camaraderie. I was listening.
Happy to have you. Happy to have you. What do you want to talk about?
You rocked. That's
sorry
great.
I yelled, Brett.
Well, first of all, I really wanted to congratulate you, Darina, and Mark. I'm very excited for this new iteration and everything. And
thanks.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Appreciate that,
thanks,
dude.
Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate that.
My one question actually goes back to yesterday. So I know nothing about Watchmen whatsoever, and I was wondering, I know there's a couple versions of the, 2008 movie, mm-hmm. I think it was released.
Yeah.
I just want to know which one I should watch.
The director's cut.
I think you should watch the director's cut. It's the middle length one, correct? Because there's those three different cuts. There's the initial, there's the director's, and there's the ultimate.
Right.
And I think that
is that what they're called?
There's
so then three, it is the ultimate.
So
then.
It's the ultimate.
Not the ultimate.
The middle one, the middle length one, is the one to watch. It's I've seen all three of them. The epically long one, just at the end of it, has Black Freighter.
Right.
And so I would go with. I think it's called the ultimate, but it might be called the ultimate cut.
I actually still think the director's cut's my favorite personally.
I don't know which one.
The ultimate has the Black Freighter. It's the director's cut. The director's cut is the middle length one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
I just think it's the most satisfying cut if you're a fan of the comic book. But that's my personal opinion. I know some people were not
Mo
into
comics
it.
Mo better. Maybe that's why.
Boom.
I think that the same thing, this happens a lot. Usually I will go with the one that is the director's cut just in general because that's what they wanted to be in there. And when you're in theaters, you can't go to the bathroom. You can't do all those things. When you're at home, you have a little more time to watch. Get up, get yourself to the bathroom, go make some tea or whiskey or whatever the fuck you're doing. You have a little longer, more of a cushion there. You can watch it however long it takes. So director's cut it is. Josh, you agree?
Yeah.
Josh, would you call Watchmen a superhero show?
I think he would call it Watchmen. That was
pretty good. Thanks, Cody. All right, guys. We are going to do a pre-tape right now. So if you're watching live, don't forget to call in so that we can air this on Monday and have all of your guys' great questions. Otherwise, we'll see you guys tomorrow morning.
Napa Know How. At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa Automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa Automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
Stay little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.